absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Fellas, I'm ready to get up and do my thing. I want to get into it, man, you know. Like a sex machine, man. Moving, doing it, you know. Can I count it off? 1, 2, 3, 4. Get up, get on up. Get up, get on up. Stay on the scene. Get on up like a sex machine. Get on up.
Hello, hello, everyone. Get on up. It's that time of day. 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you know what time it is. I am JT, a.k.a. The Master. And as always, I'm joined by my esteemed co-host, Lance Anderson, a.k.a. the NFL Exporter. And as always, on Sunday, especially this time of year, we're going to talk. We've been talking about some fantasy football, my favorite subject. And on the agenda for today, it's wide receivers. Some of them wide receivers have been showing out. They have been showing out the last set of games that have been played Thursday, Friday, yesterday, and some are going to be played today, and one's going to be played tomorrow, Monday Night Football. But we're going to be talking about them. We're going to be ranking them, and I know we're going to have disagreements, but that happens. Okay? The number to call in is 347-637-3220. I'll say it again to you because I always like to do that. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to Lance or me. Have a chat room open. It's always there for you. Lay your knowledge in there, ask a question, make a statement, you can do it. Remember, whatever you put in there is what you're going to get out. So you come foul, you may get some fouls back to you. Understand that. And what can I tell you? So without any further ado, let's take it to the bridge, like just like James said. Get on up and get this show going, and let's bring in my esteemed co-host, Mr. NFL Exporter himself. What's happening, my man? How you feel?
Good morning, Jerry. I'm feeling great. Feeling great. We 2 weeks into the preseason, so you know I'm feeling real good.
Absolutely, man. My man, as you heard me, this is my time of year. Gearing up for fantasy football. Have my first draft, 9 o'clock tonight, and it just flows from there. I'm in. Usually, I'm in double-digit fantasy leagues. This year, I'm only in 9, 8, 9. So I kind of try to curb myself a little bit. But I love this time of year. I love football as it is anyway. And the added pleasure of watching football is being able to put players in place on your fantasy teams. And sometimes it's frustrating. Sometimes it's exhilarating because the way things come together for you. But that's all. It all has to do with fantasy football, and that's what I'm all about this time of year.
Hey, Jerry, I got a quick question for you.
Sure.
Just real quick, I usually am in about 3 or 4. When you do get up to 9, 10 leagues and above, how do you handle putting your rosters together to avoid having conflicts with playing against, you know, players that you have on your fantasy team in other leagues?
What do you mean?
For example, you know, if you're in 9 different leagues, are you picking your rosters pretty much the same? Or if you have different players, you know, how do you avoid, you know, on a week-to-week basis in different leagues, you know, if you got Dez Bryant in one league, but then you're playing against them in another league, you know, that type of thing. How do you avoid playing against, you know, the players that you have on your roster in one league from the next?
I don't even worry about that. I put my players in place and put the best roster I can possibly put together that I'm thinking that's going to work, and let it play out. Sometimes,
okay,
quite naturally, sometimes when you have that many leagues, it doesn't pan out. But I strongly believe, because I've done it before, and I keep on doing it, repeat this. You overthink it, and you don't put the guys in that you should put in, like your studs, or you put him in, let him play. If for some reason it doesn't pan out because you have one player going up against the next, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. It is what it is.
Okay.
But you put.
Okay.
I believe in putting your studs in there and letting them play regardless if it's going to be conflicting one way or the other. Otherwise, you'd be banging yourself head against the wall and saying I coulda, woulda, shoulda, and I don't like doing that.
Okay.
So I put him in there and just let him play. And you got to be organized, quite naturally. When you start getting to multiple leagues and 9, 10 leagues, you got to be organized.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got to be organized. You got to put a lot of work in it. If you're into fantasy football, and I'm getting off the beaten path, but I'm just saying this. If you're into fantasy football and you're in multiple leagues, and I'm saying like five and above, that's a lot of players to keep track of. But if you're into fantasy football, you got to put the time in. Plain and simple. You got to put the time in before you do the draft. You got to put the time in after you do the draft. Cause now you have multiple players and multiple teams. And, it takes a lot of time. And hopefully you don't have high blood pressure or don't get too excited in the highs and lows because – you got players playing all over the place at different times, and anything can happen, good and bad. So it is what it is.
Okay.
All right. You know, we had talked about quarterbacks. Excuse me. And we had come up against a time crunch and really got up to Peyton Manning, and we stopped it off of that. But we didn't talk about some of the quarterbacks that – and I know we're going to talk about wide receivers, but I want to finish this thing about quarterbacks because there were some quarterbacks that I didn't mention and that you may have had into the rankings. So I want to talk about a few quarterbacks for a brief time before we talk about wide receivers. Now, we got over 2 hours to do this, so I hope you have the time. If you don't, that's fine, too. But I want to make sure that we don't leave anybody short in what we did last week in the quarterbacks briefly, and until we get to the wide receivers, because there's a lot of wide receivers besides the rankings from 25 to 1. There's a lot of wide receivers that aren't on that list that I feel we need to talk about. So I want to try to close this out with the quarterbacks. Get your feeling on them briefly, and then we can move on to the wide receivers. Is that good with you?
Okay, that sounds excellent.
Okay. All right. We had, in my rankings, number 24, I had Sam Bradford at number 24. And we had different opinions on that, but at 24, I had Sam Bradford, and at number one, the consensus was you and I, we had Peyton Manning at number one. But these other quarterbacks, and I'm going to name some of them, or I'll just name them and get your opinion on what you think about them, and then after I name about, I guess it's about 10 of them, we can go on from there. All right,
okay.
My next one, this first one right off the bat, I can't stand this guy. I shouldn't say I can't stand this guy. I don't know him personally. I shouldn't say that. But I don't like the way he plays. I think he's one of the worst quarterbacks. But from what I understand, he's probably playing better than he's played in his whole career under the tutelage of the coaches he's under now. But I don't like this quarterback, and I don't like his track record because the fact is he carried it from college into the pros, and he's either hurt or he's really not that good of a quarterback, but they have him as a starter right now. I want to get your opinion on this guy, Jake Locker.
Yep, Jake Locker, I agree. He, in my opinion, he's not a starting quarterback in the NFL. He hasn't been able to stay on the football field, first and foremost, in the two seasons that he started in Tennessee. He's only played in 18 out of a possible 36 games. And so, number one, he hasn't been on the field long enough to be considered a starting quarterback. Outside of injuries, when he's been in there, You know, he hasn't put up numbers that are consistent. In 2012, the 11 games he played, 10 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. The 7 games he played last year, 8 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. So, you know, this year is a contract year for him. So you would expect for him to play with, you know, better, some sense of urgency if he plans on getting re-signed to Tennessee, which is very unlikely, considering Zach Mettenberg coming to the team. And also, you know, if he wants to play for another team next year. But, you know, he's not a good quarterback. He hasn't been accurate with the football. And that's really what it boils down to. You know, he doesn't have top tier wide receivers. You know, he doesn't have a Calvin Johnson, a Larry Fitzgerald, a Dez Bryant type guy. He's out there with Kendall Wright, Justin Hunter, Nate Washington. No disrespect to those guys, but you know, unless those guys are playing with a Peyton Manning or Aaron Rodgers, somebody to really make them look good, they're not, you know, top tier receivers. So. Not high on Jake Locker at all. I certainly he's not going to be on my fantasy football team as a certainly as not a starter. Without question, he's not a backup. And again, you know, injuries, being inaccurate with the football and the weapons that he has around him, it doesn't spell success in my opinion.
Okay, for those those callers who just called in, Mikal and Victor, I'll bring you guys in shortly. The subject today is wide receivers. But I wanted to briefly talk about quarterbacks that we did mention and get the Lance's opinion on them before we move on to wide receivers. And I'm saying again, the program is going to be 2 hours long. That's what it's set for, but we can always go over that if we have the time. Anyway, all right, this guy... Next guy we're going to be talking about comes from my former team that I used to be a fan of. It seems like he's playing a little bit better. He's getting pushed by a wily veteran. They seem to be having a good rapport with each other. Wily veteran's not number 7 anymore. He's number 1. The second-year guy, Geno Smith of the Jets, is number 7. I want to get... your opinion, Lance, on Geno Smith, New York Jets.
Sure. It's the same thing, Jerry. One thing about me, when it comes to quarterbacks in general, in NFL terms and in the fantasy football world as well, you certainly understand that every quarterback cannot be a Peyton Manning, an Aaron Rodgers, even some of the younger elite quarterbacks, you know, Russell Wilson, Andrew Luck, those guys. So my thing is, if the quarterback is not that good, you certainly want to surround him with weapons to try to make life on him as easy as possible. And with Geno Smith, obviously, in his rookie year, 12 TDs, 21 interceptions, you know, had the 4 fumbles, basically got the nickname Good Geno, Bad Geno, because for every decent game that he had, you know, he had a bad game. So got to be consistent number 1. And with the wide receivers that the Jets have to roster, again, I don't see it happening. I don't see him set up for success. They did bring over Decker from the Denver Broncos to help bolster that passing game, but we know that Decker shined as the 4th option over in Denver last year. Teams certainly were not game planning for him. He was the one who got the least amount of targets, but the offense was so explosive, he was still able to get, you know, over 1,100 yards and 12 TDs. That certainly won't be the case in New York this year. You look after Eric Decker. I mean, you got Stephen Hill, you know, speed guy, but can't catch the football. Jeremy Curley, you know, he's a decent player. He'll be in the slot, but I mean, those are the weapons that this guy has around him. You know, Eric Decker, Stephen Hill, Jeremy Curley, David Nelson. I mean, come on, you know, these guys aren't scaring any defenses at all. So for Geno Smith, we know that, in my opinion, he's not fantasy relevant. You know, maybe 1 or 2 games he can do some justice and. Good luck on guessing what weeks those are going to be, but the Jets are not they're not a passing team. They're trying to run the football. They're trying to, you know, stay in football games, let their defense kind of control things and keep it close to the end. So in my opinion, Geno Smith is not a fantasy football quarterback that I think should be on owners' rosters this year unless you happen to see something amazing take place in the next couple weeks.
All right. The next couple guys I'm going to give you, next guys I'm going to give you are going to be a tandem, meaning that there's going to be probably a rookie and a veteran. And just give me your opinion on both of them, but it's going to be a tandem. First tandem we're going to talk about is the Teddy Bridgewater and Matt Cassel competition. Talk to me about these guys.
Yep, I would say there is some upside there. I would say this is the classic case and example where the skill players that are surrounding Cassel and Bridgewater help their circumstances out immensely. You have Adrian Peterson running the football. So, number one, you're going to have 7-8 man, you know, fronts, 7 to 8 men in the box, which will certainly leave receivers in one-on-one coverage. You have to respect play action pass when it comes to the Vikings, again, with Adrian Peterson. And then when I look on the outside with Cordell Patterson, Greg Jennings, Jerome Simpson, he's a good number three receiver, and Kyle Rudolph, I think that, you know, whether Cassel or Bridgewater, unlike Geno Smith, unlike Jake Locker, they're set up a little bit more for success due to the weapons they have in the passing game.
Right.
But, you know, same thing, starting off the season, these guys certainly at best would be backup quarterbacks on my team until I can, you know, see some type of consistent play from either one of these quarterbacks.
Okay. Next tandem I'm going to talk about. And these guys that are just a veteran and a rookie. So Chad Henne, Blake Bortles.
Very interesting now in Jacksonville. Chad Henne has had quite a bit of playing time over the last couple seasons. When Blaine Gabbert was there, Gabbert was getting injured a lot. You see Henne come in and actually do pretty well. Back in 2012, when he had Cecil Shorts and Justin Blackmon as his wide receivers, Henne actually did pretty well. We know Blackmon is talented. You know, hopefully he can get back on track and get back in the NFL. You know, he's suspended this year. It's kind of a similar situation. I'm going to tell you this, Jerry. I think that this is interesting with Henne or Bortles because you certainly expect for the offense to be on the football field an awful lot, considering how suspect their defense is. You also figure when they're on the football field, they're going to be passing a lot. I'm not sold on Toby Gearhart at running back at all. And so this is a situation here where I think it could go one of two ways. You know, obviously there could be a lot of turnovers adding up and the stats won't be good, or you could actually see one of these quarterbacks, if they can, you know, stay away from multiple interceptions, who's to say in a, you know, if they lose, whatever, 35 to 21, who's to say that Henne or Bortles wouldn't get 265, you know, passing yards or a little bit better in two TDs, you know, and like I said, no interceptions. That could be so. I mean, again, not guys that you're going to be drafting to start. I think at this point, not even a backup, but certainly a situation to watch because, like I said, just due to how much they're going to be on the field and they're going to be passing the football an awful lot. We know in fantasy football, we take garbage stats, you know, all day. Not a problem at all. So, I mean,
yeah.
I think it's certainly worth monitoring. But, again, not a lot of weapons out there. You know, Cecil Shorts III, Marquise Lee, a nice rookie from USC. You know, they just don't have the weapons. But, again, it'll be interesting to see, you know, if the stats end up adding up for these guys and what will be a season where the Jaguars' offense will be passing the football when they're on the football field an awful lot.
All right. Out on the left coast, we're going to Northern California. Matt Schaub, Dennis Carr.
Man.
Wow.
I tell you, Matt Schaub.
Really?
Yeah. You know, this Matt Schaub guy, you know, I thought this would be a situation here in Oakland, especially with how many veterans they brought over, that this guy could have a shot at redeeming his career after he was ran out of Houston. The offense is set up for him. You know, you got Maurice Jones-Drew, Darren McFadden. They're going to be running the football. We've seen, you know, Schaub excel in play action out in Houston, and we've seen him put up some pretty big stats, even though it doesn't result in his team winning. But with that being said, it just seems that his confidence is shot. He threw another interception in the preseason game the other night against Detroit. And I don't know, man. I won't be starting. He won't be a backup starting off. I think Carr actually has a little bit more upside, but, you know, he suffered a concussion the other day. I don't know what his health, you know, is going to be when he returns. But, I mean, if it wasn't for that injury, I think Carr was definitely in a position to really be pushing Shaw. But, again, the Raiders are another team that passing the football a lot is not going to be their forte. They're going to be trying to get that running game going again with Jones, Drew, and McFadden, and have their quarterbacks really flourish and play action pass. So I don't think either one of these guys are worth being on your fantasy roster, considering the type of offensive game plan they're bringing to the table. It's just not going to produce the type of fantasy football numbers you want from a starting quarterback.
Okay. Going to Texas, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Tom Savage.
You know what? Fitzpatrick actually was a decent backup. The couple years he was in Tennessee, backing up Jake Locker when he was injured. We just talked about Locker. That's who his backup was out in Tennessee. I think it's a real interesting situation. On one hand, you like his top two targets, you know, in Andre Johnson and DeAndre Hopkins. But after those two receivers, very thin as far as depth is concerned for that Texans team at wide receiver. And I don't know. I think I have to wait and see what their whole offense as a whole is looking like. You know, right now they don't have all their starters on the football field. We don't know if Arian Foster is going to be 100% healthy and how productive he's going to be. I think that's really the key to Fitzpatrick's success, is they can have a successful running game. But, again, he's a guy certainly I wouldn't draft coming to have on your, you know, on your roster from day one. Certainly worth monitoring. I mean, he has a couple. He has some good weapons in Johnson and Hopkins in the passing game. But I don't see much light for Ryan Fitzpatrick in fantasy football this year.
All right, last tandem, and last but not least, you know, I haven't mentioned him, so this is why I did mention him: Johnny Football and Brian Hoyer.
You know what? Their success hinges on, and please fill me in. I've been waiting to see. Has Josh Gordon's what they're going to do with him? Has that word come in yet?
Supposedly it's supposed to come down sometime early next week. Supposedly. Sometime next week it's supposed to come, but who knows? You get conflicting reports. It's supposed to come down in 3 weeks. It's supposed to come down later in whatever week they're in. So I guess it's just a wait and see right now.
Okay, well, whoever the quarterback is in Cleveland this year, whether it's Manziel or Hoyer, I'm giving Hoyer the nod right now. If you look at how Brandon Whedon played last year and what Hoyer was able to do in his brief body of work, you know, only was able to play three games before getting hurt against Buffalo. Hoyer came in and was and had the offense clicking in the passing game. And to my surprise, he was being very accurate with the football. I think you see that with a lot of these veteran quarterbacks, you know, him. You know, we've seen Josh McCown with some success last year. Chad Henne's another guy. You know, these guys, after being drafted and being depended on and they kind of fall through the cracks, they sit in the system, you know, they become veterans and they really understand, you know, how to play quarterback. So, I mean, I would get a benefit of the doubt to Hoyer until I see otherwise. But it's going to be difficult to do. When you look at Johnny Manziel, you have a Tim Tebow-type situation, in my opinion. Don't get it twisted. Manziel is certainly a much better football player on the NFL level, thinking, than Tim Tebow, you know, ever could be. But when I mention Tim Tebow, what I'm saying is when you bring in a guy of Johnny Manziel's profile, it's pressure. That organization is under a lot of pressure to get Johnny Manziel on the football field. You got the fans wanting him. The media's all over him. I'm quite sure behind the scenes, Manziel's got some pretty powerful, influential people in his corner. You know, they did draft him in the first round. I felt that was a pressure move as well. But that organization has a lot of pressure to get Johnny Manziel on the football field. And I'm going to tell you, Jerry, I think that with the way that this Josh Gordon thing is taking so long to come down, you have to think that he's going to be on the football field at some time this year. I mean, they've taken so long, you know, to get a decision in, I would to think that they're going to reverse his suspension and he's going to play some games. So I put it to you like this. If Josh Gordon is on the football field, then certainly you can have a quarterback in Cleveland have some success. A starter every week for your football team, I wouldn't do that. But as a backup, some weeks and some matchups, yeah, if you got Josh Gordon and you can couple him up with Miles Austin, Nate Burleson, Lavelle Hawkins, they kind of got a revamped wide receiving core out there. We know the Jordan Cameron is one of the top-tier tight ends. So there can certainly be some success there. But if Josh Gordon is not there, forget about it. You certainly want to stay away from both of those quarterbacks. So I think it largely depends on if Josh Gordon is going to be playing, and even if he is, you want to kind of pick your matchups. Neither one of these guys will be starters every week.
Okay. Last but not least, quite naturally, we go up to upstate New York, and second-year quarterback E.J. Manuel. Closing out the quarterback.
Yes, sir. He's another guy. I think the Bills have done a great job of what I spoke on, which is he's a young quarterback, but they've got him surrounded with some nice weapons. Now, the Bills, have C.J. Spiller, Fred Jackson at running back. They went out and grabbed Bryce Brown, so they certainly have more than enough depth and fresh legs to keep the running game going. Both Brown and Jackson especially are good catching the ball out of the backfield. They went out and grabbed Sammy Watkins. They brought in Mike Williams, who had a couple good years over in Tampa Bay. And Robert Woods is a second-year player. He had a decent rookie year. You got Scott Chandler. So I really think E.J. Manuel's success is going to depend on a couple things. Number one, that offensive line's got to protect. The Bills' pass protection has not been that well over the past couple years. I think the offensive coordinator out there has got to put this guy in a position to succeed. You got all those weapons around you, so they've got to put him in a position to use those, maximize those weapons to the best of their ability. And then Manuel's just got to be more consistent. With any second-year quarterback, being consistent is the key. He has not been accurate with the football in his first year in the preseason. Hasn't looked too well. Yesterday, 17 completions for only 148 yards against Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
that's a lot of. Yeah, a lot of dink and dump going on. You see anything for 17. So, again, he's a guy that I wouldn't start. I don't think starting your fantasy football season off, he'll be on your roster. I think the Bills are going to try to run the football a lot, but he's certainly a guy, he can get you some rushing yards, some possible rushing TDs. He had a game or two last year that was fantasy relevant, but good luck on guessing what games he can do your squad some justice, but he's certainly a guy to look out for. But I think that this is still going to be a transition year for the Bills. Their weapons on offense are very young, and they've got to find a way to kind of pull all of that together, because even up to this point, Sammy Watkins hasn't been able to do much in the preseason due to Manuel's inefficiency.
Right. All right, I wanted to go over those quarterbacks. So we didn't mention those people, those quarterbacks last week, people. So I want to get Lance's opinion on those, or give our opinion on those quarterbacks. And then we can move on to the wide receivers, which we're going to cover after this commercial break. We'll be right back and bring in our two guests, callers, and we'll be talking about wide receivers.
If you're into fantasy sports, you're going to love the Fantasy Sports Show with host Victor Gardner and co-host Jerry and Black every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. This show is so hot, I can only play the intro.
Fantasy Sports and Policy.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The Fantasy Sports Show. Information, motivation, variety.
All right, people, we're back. I am JT, a.k.a. The Master, and along with my co-host, Lance, the NFL Exporter, Anderson, we are in the Master Plan. That's what you're listening to. The show is sponsored by Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino.com, where winners win and players play. And without further ado, let's bring our two co-hosts, They happen to be family. They happen to call in right after each other. But what doesn't make a difference? I'm going to call, bring them in as they called in, which, Mikhail, you called in before your cousin. So welcome to the show, my man.
What's happening, man? What's happening, Lance?
What's going on, Mikhail?
What's happening, cuz? Old chump boy, R.D.
Oh, boy. And now we're going to bring in our esteemed founder of all these shows, and I can't call him Chump R.D. I call him Victor. What's up, man? How you been?
Now, you see, I start all this, and the type of respect I get from my own family,
it's terrible. You get none. You get none. You got to take it. You got to take it, Slim.
That's why we're going to mute him. Mute him now. No. What's going on, fellas? First thing. See, he's gonna make me do it. Lance, I thought your last name was Goodman, not Anderson. Was I wrong?
No, you're correct there.
I'm sorry. I don't know why I got that in my head. Goodman, I'm sorry. Lance Goodman. I'm sorry, people. His last name is Goodman, not Anderson. I don't know where I got that from. Sorry about that.
It's senility.
Yeah, you're right.
It's a couple things I wanted to say. First of all, I want to welcome Lance to the family. Starting September 8th at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Lance Goodman, the NFL Exporter, will be hosting his own show, and it is called The Extra Point. Lance will be breaking down the matchups from the previous Sunday, meaning whatever was talked about here on the Master Plan, he will be breaking it down on air live just before the NFL Monday night game. There's going to be a few tips of some fantasy players that are going to break out in that game, the Monday night game.
Outstanding.
Very, very good. And on his inaugural show, I will be on the show to gloat about how Jerry will have already paid me my $100 from our Houston Texans Washington Redskins bet. I'll be silent, which I doubt, about how the Texans beat the Redskins. I really don't think that's going to happen. But
Jerry, why
do
you take that bet, Jerry?
I'm not saying again, Lance is going to have a great show. You're getting a little bit of it here on the Master Plan. Great co-host. These two guys work very, very well together. And I look forward to the Extra Point Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Always streaming 24/7, 365 over at spotonradio.webs.com. And it's all sponsored by Fantasy Sportsbook and Casino, where winners win and players play. So go over there today, place your wager so you can get paid. I'm done.
Okay. Thank you there. All right.
Product placement.
Yeah, I know. As I had said previously.
Oh, that's what that is?
As I said previously and throughout this beginning of this show, we're going to be talking now at fantasy football on wide receivers. We've gone through the tight ends. We've gone through the quarterbacks ending the first quarter of the show with the quarterbacks. Now we're going to be talking about wide receivers, which is there a plethora of wide receivers. Now we're only going to go to the top 24, top 25 wide receivers. I'm averaging out this on a league that has two wide receivers on each team in a 12-team PPR type of situation, so that's what it is. But these wide receivers, in my opinion, can carry over to a standard league also because of I think they'll still be in the top 24, 25. So without further ado, my
Jerry,
top 25
Jerry.
Guy, what's that?
Can I ask one quick question? One quick question before
sure.
we get into this. It's going to lead into it. I invited you to a ESPN League Sportsaholics Anonymous, and one question I have for both of you before you break down your top 10 and it leads into it is, if you have a choice at these wide receivers, who would you pick first? Torrey Smith, Vincent Jackson, Julio Jones, or who else did this guy get? T.Y. Hilton. Now I'm asking both of you, and I'm asking for a reason, because on the board, this gentleman, with his fourth overall pick, he had the 10th pick in a 10-team league, so he had back-to-back picks. He picked a certain player with these players left on the board and Andre Johnson and Larry Fitzgerald. So once you guys tell me what you think, I'll tell you who he picked.
Well, to me, it's a no-brainer. To me, it's a no-brainer. They're in a pass-happy offense with probably the best quarterback out of the tandem you just gave me. Not the best quarterback, but one of the best two quarterbacks in the tandem that you gave me. So I'm going to go with Julio Jones without a doubt. I think he's going to come back. He's going to be healthy. And if he's healthy, with Matt Ryan thrown to him in that offense, Julio Jones, in my opinion, all day.
I'm with you. You know, I think you have to go Julio Jones, considering his ability and how much you're anticipating Atlanta passing. But Vincent Jackson is certainly worth considering there as well. But I think when you look at if you look at a ceiling, I certainly think that Julio Jones was the top receiver out of what you mentioned out of those four guys.
Well, gentlemen, he picked Torrey Smith.
What?
And he picked Torrey Smith because he says he doesn't trust Julio this year. He didn't want to get Fitzgerald. He doesn't trust Andre Johnson. He also picked Alfred Morris over Le'Veon Bell.
Baltimore, isn't he?
No, he is not. He's from Texas.
He's from Texas.
But
he took Alfred Morris and a Ravens guy. There's a story behind that. You just don't know what it is.
Well, no, he explained. He explained, and that's why I'm going into it real quick before Jerry and Lance go into their thing. He says that he's had Doug Martin twice in the past few years, and he's burnt them, so he doesn't want to get Doug Martin. He doesn't believe Le'Veon Bell is going to be that productive, so he went with Alfred Morris. He says that he doesn't trust Fitz anymore because he's older and he has Carson Palmer. He doesn't believe that Andre Johnson will do anything, and I agree with him on that. He didn't mess with Julio because Julio's coming off of an injury, but he picked up Reggie Wayne with as his number three wide receiver, and I didn't understand that. If you're going to, you know, get somebody that's 34 years old with a torn ACL, coming off a torn ACL, versus somebody that's 32 and still doing well in Larry Fitz, why leave Fitz on the board? That was just my thought process to him, and we went back and forth all last night. So I invited you to join the league. It's one more pay league in ESPN if you can go against me. Lance, I don't have your Facebook or anything like that, so I couldn't invite you. But
Victor, quick question for you, Victor. Did you tell this guy to tune into the Master Plan today? Because we're covering wide receivers, maybe this guy, you know, we can help, we can educate. Okay. So, caller, if you're listening to the show, feel free to call in. But make sure, more than anything, to listen. I don't know if you have some more leagues that you're drafting in, but we're covering wide receivers today, and that's what we do here on the Master Plan. We're going to make sure we get you right, because it doesn't sound like you made some wise selections there. So I certainly hope you're doing something there. Okay.
Victor, just before we came on air, someone did call in from the 334 area code. I guess he was looking for you. That was him?
It might have been him.
Well, I told him that we're talking about fantasy football and we're talking about wide receivers today, and I thought he was going to hang on, but he hung up, so I don't know. I don't know who it was. He gave me his name, but he gave it to me so quickly I didn't catch it. And then the conversation went where I told you it went, and then he hung up. So it could have been possibly, maybe he's listening, I don't know. Maybe he'll catch it on the archives. But is this guy somebody new playing fantasy football, or he's been playing for a while? And
he's been playing for a while. He actually started the group on Facebook, Sportsaholics Anonymous.
And all we do is talk about sports in there. Just playing all day, every day, sports. And he started several leagues on ESPN. And
well, just because you start him don't mean you know anything about him.
Well, no. He's done many leagues before. I've looked at his profile. But for the group, he did, like, I think, 8 leagues or something like that for the group. So some are free and a couple are paid. But, you know, we've been dogging him out, trying to get him to get one done, so we decided to do that. But I don't want to take away from the show and the information.
I
just want to get y'all's thoughts.
Okay. Well, let's start from the bottom, if I want to put it that way, from the bottom and work our way up. This guy is in, and we talked about one of the wide receivers. This guy is in the offense he's involved in. Pretty much resurrected the quarterback's career, which the coach and the quarterback's coach had the tendency to do. And out in the desert and in Arizona, with Carson Palmer, Michael Floyd, who I have listed at 25, 65 catches, a little over 1,000 yards and 5 touchdowns, and he started all 16 games. And a lot of people, a few people in the NFL and in the Arizona organization think that Michael Floyd's going to take over the number one wide receiver position this season. In a Bruce Arians type of offense, who likes to throw the ball down the field and likes to put up a lot of big plays. Larry Fitz, who's turned 31 later this month, and is in a has a cap number over $23 million next season, which may be his final year in Arizona. I like Michael Floyd and rookie John Brown, but specifically Michael Floyd, to be a if he didn't break out last year, I think he's going to break out this year, and I have him at number 25. Talk to me, Lance.
Yep. I don't have him ranked in my top 25, but I think Michael Floyd certainly is a player who can be productive this year. Again, you know, it's pretty much him and Larry Fitzgerald are the main two options. You mentioned Josh, the wide receiver, the rookie wide receiver, who certainly is expected to factor in. They also brought in Ted Ginn Jr. From Carolina to play the slot and help stretch the field vertically, which they haven't had in years. But I still think Fitzgerald has more upside, even though last year Michael Floyd did lead the team in receiving yards. It was only by about maybe 80 yards. And then Fitzgerald still led the team in touchdowns, which is of more importance to me. Floyd only had 5. Fitzgerald had 10. And so I still have Larry Fitz as a top target. He's looked very good in preseason, has had the longer rapport with Carson Palmer. So I like Michael Floyd. I have him more of a low-end number two, kind of a flex option. You know, I have to wait to see how things progress. But he's certainly a guy with upside. I mean, he's gotten better in his first years. He worked with Fitzgerald in the offseason. You know, did have, like I said, 1,041 yards last year. So, you know, we certainly expect for Arizona to pass the football a lot this year. And I'm quite sure there will be enough games that Michael Floyd will be fantasy relevant this year.
All right, I'm going to go in this order from the rest of the program, McCall and then Victor. Michael Floyd.
Yeah, I like Michael Floyd. I think he's very much poised to make a jump this year. I just don't trust Carson Palmer. I really don't. I just don't know what that's going to be about, but. I'm with Lance. I don't see him overtaking Fitz this year, though. I think Fitz still got it. I think he still got it in him. So yeah, I would look at him as a lower tier type dude. If he was, you know, if he was there on a waiver wire or something, I might pick him up, but I wouldn't pick him up in the early rounds.
Ooh. All right, Victor.
Well, based on my projections for this year, I have like a three-way tie for number 25. And I'll tell you, Michael Floyd is one of them. I do like his ability if he can concentrate and focus like Larry Fitzgerald tried to get him to do a couple years ago. He has the talent, he has the build, and he has the speed. It's just, can he focus? But with him, I have Julian Edelman right there and Mike Wallace. The reason why I have those three together is because I think they all are going to be about the same. It's different systems they're in, true, but I think they're going to be just as effective. Edelman is, because we Amendola is going to get hurt, so I have Edelman getting the bulk of those catches that old boy was supposed to get. And Mike Wallace, I think he's going to break out. I think he's going to have a good year this year because they're going to put him all over the place. But that's why I have a three-way tie there at number 25 with an honorable mention of Tavon Austin.
Okay. We'll get to those. We just concentrating on one wide receiver. We'll get to the other ones. Anyway, let me premise this by saying that if you look at this list of wide receivers, most of them are wide receivers that have very good quarterbacks thrown to them, or that the wide receiver's ability is better than the quarterback that's thrown the ball to him. So even though that he may not have a good quarterback, he's good enough to wide receiver is good enough to offset the ability of the quarterback. But for most part, most of these quarterbacks have very good wide receivers. Most of these wide receivers have very good quarterbacks throwing the ball to them. And that leads me to my number 24. He won the Super Bowl, let me put it that way, okay, with a strong defense, strong running game, and his wide receivers were not outstanding, but this one wide receiver had a hard time staying on the field, and for that most part, he played in the Super Bowl, and that's probably his best game that he played. I'm talking about Percy Harvin. He's only 26. He's high risk, high reward, that type of wide receiver. When he's 100%, he can be the most explosive player on the field. But that's the whole thing, having him in on the field. He had problems in Minnesota. He carried those problems over in Seattle. If he's healthy, he's definitely a big threat. But the key is being healthy on a run-first Seattle Seahawks team. But I have him listed as number 24 because of the ability, his ability as a wide receiver. Talk to me, Lance.
Yep, dead on point with that one, Jerry. I have Harvin at 24 myself. And you said it. It's all about can he stay on the football field. Now, I will say to his credit, in his first 3 years in Minnesota, he was on the football field. Only missed one game as a rookie, missed two games as a second-year guy, 2011. He did play all 16 games. So I will give him some benefit of the doubt. You know, we do forget that, you know, during those couple years, he was not the main guy. Sidney Rice was still over there. It was really 2012 in Minnesota was the year that he got injured. Now, that's the other thing with fantasy football. You know that even though if a player is on the football field, if he's not at 100%, you still might as well say he's injured because he's not playing every play,
right,
and it's kind of banged up. So you have to factor that in as well. But, no, you said it. Staying on the field is the key. Back in 2012, when he played nine games prior to being injured, he was leading the NFL. In receptions was 62, had 677 yards, was well on his way to a monster year. And especially in PPR leagues where, you know, the player will get credit for punt and kickoff returns, that certainly adds some extra value to him. You would have to think he's going to be a major part of that offense this year. They lost Golden Tate. To in-steps Harvin, I think Doug Baldwin will still kind of be, you know, a major target. And Russell Wilson spread the football around, but Harvin's a guy, you know, they're going to just be looking to get the ball in his hands as much as possible in a variety of different ways. You have to figure he'll be a part of that wildcat at some point, you know, in the red zone. So I like his scoring opportunities, but it's all about health with him. You know, if he can stay healthy, he's certainly a guy that you can pick up in later rounds and be excellent, in my opinion. He's like a prototype flex play for your team because what they're doing in Seattle, I don't think week in and week out he'll be a legitimate number two. That is certainly possible. Don't get me wrong there. But I think he is a prototype flex play, a guy that can get you double-digit fantasy points due to what he can do running the football and catching. And if he gets in that end zone, it'll really take it over the top. So I think probably we'll probably hear from everybody, and I think across the fantasy football world, the expectations and the overall consensus on Percy Harvin is pretty consistent.
Before I go to Mikal, I want to ask you this, Lance. Do you think that Percy Harvin is getting overvalued?
No. I think 24 is the perfect spot to land him, which means he'll probably be going somewhere around the and of course, it's dependent on how many team league you're in. So, I mean, if you're in a league that's got 10 players, I think, you know, the fifth, sixth round will be somewhere where you land him. If you're, you know, 12, 14, then he can be moved up probably to maybe to the fourth or fifth round. Depending on how the board moves, but absolutely not. You know, if injuries weren't a concern, I certainly think that Percy Harvin would be a top 15 receiver, especially if he's lining up in that slot position. But you cannot overlook the injuries with this guy, and
right.
That is certainly what has his ranking lower than what it potentially could be.
All right, Mikal, you're up.
I think you got him overvalued. I really do. I mean, 2012 was like 2 years ago. This dude has not put together a good season. I would not draft him at all until until he can put together a string of good 5-6 games. I wouldn't even touch him. I mean, the guy. I'm not saying that the dude is not touch. This dude has a hell of a lot of talent. I mean, it was on display in the Super Bowl, but that was the only game he played. Come on, man. You playing fantasy football for money? I wouldn't even touch that dude. I'm surprised. I mean, like 24, I'd have him now like 30, man. Nah. Because he can't stay on the field. You don't know if he's going to get on the field or not. You know? I mean,
okay.
I remember him when Favre was throwing to him and whatnot. He was all world. You know? Nah.
All right, Victor?
Well, I have a different ranking than you guys, but you should know I do. I have Percy a little higher than 24. At 24, I have T.Y. Hilton. So I don't want to spoil, you know, what you guys are going to say about T.Y., but I'm looking at what he has on his team versus what he means to the team. And what I mean by that is, yes, you have Reggie Wayne, you have Hakeem Nicks, you have two good tight ends, you have two running backs in Bradshaw and Trent Richardson that'll take stuff away from T.Y. Even though he's an explosive player, that's why I have him at 24, and I have Percy a little higher because he does the kick return game as well as when they do throw the ball, he's going to be one of the main targets up in Seattle. So I have him just a little bit higher for those reasons.
Okay. All right, let's move on to this guy who's had 105, the most of his career, 105 receptions, signed a $17 million, re-signed a $17 million contract with the Patriots. In my opinion, he's clearly locked in as the number one wide out for the Patriots and Tom Brady. They call him they originally thought Danny Amendola was going to be the Wes Welker clone, but I believe Julian Edelman, who has a comfort level with Tom Brady, and Tom Brady has a comfort level with him, is going to be his main guy that he's going to be thrown to whenever Gronkowski gets back on the field. With that being said, I think Julian Edelman in my rankings is number 23 on the hit list. Talk to me, Lance.
Yeah, I don't have him ranked in my top 25. I think that his numbers last year, the 105 catches, certainly were big time in PPR leagues. but the 1,056 yards doesn't do it for me. He only had four games last year over 100 yards. The six TDs, that won't cut it for me either. This guy went this guy went eight straight games last year without scoring a touchdown. That certainly will not cut it for me as far as fantasy football is concerned, being in ranked in the top 25. And I think that his numbers last year took a huge boost due to the injuries that they had out there. Dobson was out quite a bit. Kimbrell Tompkins was out quite a bit. Amendola was out quite a bit. Shane Vereen missed the majority of the season, and Gronkowski was out. This year, all those guys will be back on the football field, and I think that Tom Brady is going to spread that football out a whole lot more. I've seen him have some early rapport already with Kimbrell Tompkins. Had a nice back shoulder catch in the preseason game Friday night against
right.
the Eagles. And yep. In limited time, Dobson had six touchdowns. Kimbrell Tompkins had eight touchdowns. So I don't expect for Edelman to repeat those numbers from last year. I do think that he is definitely a sure target and probably has the most chemistry and rapport with Tom Brady. But again, I think his numbers were greatly inflated by the other players missing. I think this year, especially with Shane Vereen being back in there and Gronkowski, if nobody else, those two players, you'll certainly see a dip in Amendola's numbers. I'm not too high on him. I think, in my opinion, he's more of a flex play. You're going to have to catch him on the right week. I don't think you'll see the production coming in consistently for him to be a number two receiver, which I'm thinking, you know, you guys have him ranked as inside the top 25.
Sure. Miguel.
I don't think this is a bad ranking for him. But I'm going to tell you straight up, this dude is nice, man. This dude and Tom Brady, they just look so good in person, man. It just looks so smooth and so fluid. I mean, this guy gets in and out of his cut so wicked. And I was in awe. I was really in awe at it. But
That's right. You went down in Redskin camp and witnessed it.
Yeah, I went down there and checked it out, man. Went down there and checked it out. I was impressed. And let me tell you, Mr. Brady is all of it, But I don't know if I would take Amendola. You know what I mean? I mean, because you know he's more of that short target.
Edelman. You mean Edelman?
Yeah, Edelman. Edelman. I'm sorry. Edelman is a sure target. He's going to be a serious safety blanket for Brady. And just like, you know, when they're playing like those tough defenses, look for his numbers to be high on those games, you know, real close. Exactly the way he used Wes Walker. I mean, I can't sweat him enough more. I cannot sweat him any more than I am right now. They look really, really good together. So, but like I said, I don't know if I would take him, and you know, I don't even know if I would take him in as a flex or third or option or have him on my bench. I don't even think I would do that because I agree with Lance. His touchdown production isn't that high, you know. His yards will never be that high anymore. I mean, because like I said, you're gonna look for him. Brady's gonna be looking for him on the short. 3 to 5 yard type of deal. He may get a couple of yards. He may not, you know, but that's it.
Victor.
I already mentioned Julian Edelman. I have him tied at 25. The person I have at 23 is Torrey Smith. With Steve Smith coming to Baltimore, I think that's going to help Torrey Smith a lot more. I agree with what you guys are saying about Julian Edelman. But again, if you're in a PPR, those receptions are going to count along with those yards. The problem is, again, just like Wes when he was with New England, it's the touchdowns. You know, he'll get plenty of catches, plenty of yards, but he won't have that many touchdowns. And Tom Brady made a comment while they were training with the Redskins. He was glad to have Brandon LaFell because everybody else is short. Kimbrell Tompkins is a good receiver as well. But I guess Tom Brady's not impressed with him or thinks he's worthy. So Julian Edelman is somebody out of the draft, but
I have a little lower than what you guys have.
Okay. Let's move on to the down south to the guy who's consistently thrown for over 5,000 yards, and one of his targets is on my number 22. 6'5", 6'6", somewhere around there, 2.25 pounds. Plays hurt. He's missed a total of 4 games across the last 5 seasons. But just like Lance said, if you're hurt, you're not 100%. That hurts you in fantasy. But this guy is the main target behind Jimmy Graham, whether it's a deep ball or in the end zone. So in the red zone, I should say. I still like Marcus Colston. He flies under the radar with a lot of people because of, I don't know. I mean, he's pretty consistent year in and year out, unless he's got a really, really debilitating injury that slows him down completely. He's on a pass-happy offense with him being one of the favorite targets of Drew Brees. That's why I have him number 22, Marcus Colston. Lance.
Sure. I've got Colston on my list at 23. So we kind of feel the same about him. You know what? I think that all of the weapons that Drew Brees, and if you notice with these top quarterbacks, you know what? They're so accurate with the football. They can throw the ball to anybody. So I think that when you look at Marcus Colston, he's just been in a situation where you know, Darren Sproles has been averaging 77 catches a year the last three seasons out in New Orleans. Obviously, since Jimmy Graham has come onto the scene, he's been a top target over the years. You've had Devery Henderson, Robert Meacham, Lance Moore. You know, the list just goes on and on. Last year, Kenny Stills came in and paid dividends. You know, like you say, you look at Colston's numbers. I think the thing is, you know, it's hard tracking these guys from game to game. I'm looking at Colston's numbers over the last 4 years, 4 straight seasons, over 1,000 yards.
Yep.
You know, he's had 9 touchdowns, 7 touchdowns, 8 touchdowns, 10 touchdowns. That was from 2009 to 2012. Last year, tapered off a little bit, excuse me. He did not gain 1,000 yards. He came up just short, 943 yards and 5 TDs. The track record is there. I think that this year, if any, you know, this is the year for him. You know, I know he burst onto the scene as a rookie and really his second year when he had the 98 catches for 1,202 yards and 11 TDs. Really got his name on the map. The next couple years was a little bit quiet, but I think as far as where you can pick him up in drafts, he gives you great value. And I think this year with Lance Moore and Sproles gone, I seen an interesting stat the other day that Sproles and Lance Moore had caught the most touchdown passes on the Saints besides Jimmy Graham over the past 3 years. So I think with both of those players gone, outside of Jimmy Graham, Colston should be Breeze's main target. I also like that he lines up in the slot a lot, which gives him some versatility there. You know, they do have Kenny Stills, second-year guy. We know that Brandon Cooks is going to come in and do some damage. But, I mean, I think if any year, this would be the year if Marcus Colston, who's another guy we mentioned, you know, not always injured to the point that he's on the IR, he's not suiting up, but a lot of nagging injuries, you know, with this guy. So, I mean, I would say that if any year is a year for him to flourish, this has to be it, because outside of Jimmy Graham, he's the player who's been with Drew Brees the longest. He's a tall target at 6'4". Like I said, I like that he lines up in the slot, and I think there's some upside. The only reason I mentioned some time with the yards is it's just hard tracking these guys from game to game. You know, he's a guy who you wonder. You see 2 or 3 weeks straight, and he's only got 60 yards, you know, 25 yards. You're saying, what's going on? And then the next week, he'll pop through for 140 yards and 2 or 3 TDs. So I think he's a guy you got to track and monitor. But I like where you can pick him up, and I certainly like what he can do on the football field for you in the weeks you can catch him in the right matchups.
Okay, like that. Mikal.
Yeah, I like Golston. I really do. I would However, I mean, I would draft him, but I wouldn't make him my number one or number two. Like Lance said, this is the year for him. He's got to, you know, he got to step through this year. He can't be that quiet man. You know, he can't do that. He got to make do on his name this year. I'm serious. I mean, because it's been kind of like laissez-faire the last couple years. I mean, he's been there, but he hasn't been there. Like, he, you know, like when he showed up. You know what I mean? So, like, I definitely would draft him if he's available. You know what I'm saying? He wouldn't be like, you know, first-tier type of receiver I would draft. But if he's there and I need one, I'm going to get him.
Okay. Victor.
Well, I have Marquise at number 30 for all the reasons that you guys are talking about. I think Brandon Cooks might step up and take some of his shine this year. But you're right. It is his year to show that he can be that guy again. But in his place at number 22, I have Cordero Patterson, who I think is going to benefit if Bridgewater becomes the full-time quarterback, as evident of last night, and some things that Bridgewater can do. I try to stay away from Colson just because you never know who Drew Brees is going to throw the ball to. But he is, in my opinion, a top three receiver.
But you do know who Drew Brees is going to throw to. For the most part, Jimmy Graham and Marcus Colson are going to be Drew Brees' mainstays and throw to. That's been proven ever since Marcus Colson has been there, and definitely ever since Marcus Colson and Jimmy Graham have been there, that these guys have consistently been more targets or better targets than the other guys that have left. I understand what you're saying because he does spread the ball around, and like Lance said, that at times he may be quiet 1 week and then explode the next. That's just the nature of the business when you invest in a receiver that's in the New Orleans Saints, outside maybe Jimmy Graham. But Marcus Colson is going to get the I wouldn't say the lion's share, but he's going to get his fair amount of targets, which equal opportunities, which can relate to receptions and hopefully touchdowns. Yeah, you have something to say, Victor. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I mean, I don't want to cut you off, but in the comparison of the two people that I have Cordero at number 22 and Colson at 30. The opportunity for Cordero is more than there is for Colson. Cordero will be in the, he'll be in the kick game. He'll also have the benefit of Adrian Peterson, so he might have more one-on-ones than Marquise will. So that's just my thought process. And Fred Saunders says he doesn't need our help. He's won 8 out of 13 championships last year, so he's not going to listen to the show. He just hit
me back
on Facebook.
Whatever. Okay. There's something I could say to that, but I'm not even going to go there. Anyway, the next guy I'm going to talk about on the list, ironically, you just mentioned him. North Turner is now the offensive coordinator, and North Turner, it's well documented. I'm not a big fan of him being a head coach, but he's probably one of the best prolific offensive coordinators in the game right now. And his first move was to install 10 new plays for Cordero Patterson. So I can see that he's going to be, I wouldn't say involved early and often, but he's going to make he's going to get full advantage, I should say, of Cordero Patterson's ability. And just like I said before, previously, that either the wide receiver's ability is going to offset the quarterback, or the quarterback and the wide receiver are a hell of a tandem. Well, in this case, we got Teddy Bridgewater and Matt Castle competing basically for the job. Matt Castle, I think, pencils in right now, the number one. Cordero Patterson is a hell of a talent. We showed that in the latter part of last year, and expect him to just ascend from there. Hopefully they get the right quarterback that's going to be able to get him the ball on a consistent basis and showcase his talents. That's why I have Cordero Patterson at number 21. Lance.
Yep, we're real close on that one, Jerry. I actually have him up a notch. I have him at 20. And, again, I think it's really just going to what he has in his corner, number one, his value could be a little bit more. If we're talking about PPR, we know that, you know, he runs back punts, he runs back kicks, so certainly can give you some extra value there. I just, you know, with Adrian Peterson running the football, like you said, Vic mentioned it, definitely got a lot of one-on-one matchups potentially going on. And when you look at Minnesota as a whole, like you said, when you have a head coach coming in, and everybody really recognizes his talent. I know that Greg Jennings was quoted in the preseason saying that, you know, he's going to be telling his kids one day that he played with Cordell Patterson. You kind of heard amongst fantasy people early on, you know, OTAs, training camp, you know, this guy looks excellent. You know, like you said, the tail end of last year, his play really picked up. Even I remember him coming out of Tennessee. I mean, he was a guy who always, when he got his hands on the football, great ability in the open field after the catch. And so I really like Cordell Patterson. You know, I think that the main thing that we're going to have to look out for here, when you have a quarterback battle going on, you don't know what quarterback is going to favor him. You know, you could have a situation where he could be Bridgewater's favorite target, but Matt Castle's favorite target could be Greg Jennings. And
yep.
So I think, you know, I think we have to wait and see who the starting quarterback is going to be. So it may take a little bit of time for Patterson's numbers to start adding up, depending on who the starting quarterback is and how much of a rapport that they have for him. But, I mean, Patterson's a guy who can certainly, you know, catch a short pass, take it the distance. He can get his hands on the ball in reverses. They also have Kyle Rudolph. He looks good. He's lost some weight. I expect him to be back a passing game. And Jerome Simpson's a nice number three. So I think that Patterson is certainly set up for success. Like I said, starting off the season, the numbers may be a little slow, and that's maybe just based on, you know, you have a quarterback competition going on. But I think before it's all said and done, you know, you have him at 21, I have him at 20. I think that's a good spot for him. I certainly think that, you know, he's a player with a lot of upside. And, you know, we'll certainly find his groove once he can get in rhythm with whoever the starting quarterback is going to be there.
I really like the OC in there. That OC will get the playmakers the ball. He's got a history of doing that. Mikal. Mm-hmm. Mikal once. Mikal twice. Victor.
Oh, my bad. I had the mute button on. I was yapping while I was, and I looked. I was like, "Dang, I ain't unlocked to me." But anyway, I like Cordell Patterson. Right now, I think, you know, we going off a lot of potential. You know, I remember him back in Tennessee. He's pretty decent. I don't know if I would draft him right now. I mean, there's too many. You know, I like Norvell Turner as the OC, but it's still a new offense and. You know, Cordell Patterson already talking about, you know, he thinks Matt Castle is the starting quarterback, but, you know, that's a whole nother issue. But that's a tough one, man, because I like the potential, but, you know, I wouldn't like to go on to too much the potential because, you know, sometimes a lot, you know, because when I go on potential and stuff like that, some guys turn out to be busts, but this guy's pretty – He looks pretty decent. He looks very much poised. I don't know if I would have him ranked as high as you guys have him ranked.
Victor.
A guy that I already mentioned, I have at 21, which is Percy Harvin. I told you 22 for me was Cordero, but Percy Harvin, basically, again, at 21 because of his ability in the kick game, as well as when they do pass the ball. I know Doug Baldwin is looking like his favorite target up there in Seattle. Talking about Russell Wilson. But I think Percy Harvin can be used a lot more, especially as a gadget guy in the run game, also, again, in the kick game and in the deep ball. receiving. So I have Percy Harvin at 21.
Okay. Let's move on to guys.
And that's too high.
Yeah, I don't like Percy. Well, everybody's entitled to their opinion. So that's why we're doing the show and getting varied opinions to let the people know that who we may generally agree on and who we disagree on. So it is what it is. Let's move on to one of Macau's favorite cities and favorite teams in that city, who's gotten a new OC, one of a few teams that's gotten a new offensive coordinator in Gary Kubiak, and also a new fiery wide receiver in Steve Smith. Talking about this wide receiver happens to be in his final year of his rookie contract, so he's playing for his second contract. So most guys are going to be highly motivated to try to get paid outside of their rookie contract. He's still only 25 years old, in my opinion, but he's got a lot of ability. He's got a big-arm quarterback thrown to him. In my ability, he's a one-trick pony and a nine-route type of guy versus being able to be more versatile than that. I'm talking about Torrey Smith. I think you guys know who I'm talking about. Joe Flacco likes throwing to him. He's got a comfort level with him to him, and for the most part, Flacco can't outthrow the speed of Torrey Smith. Gary Kubiak has been known to get the best out of the number one wide receiver, a.k.a. Andre Johnson in Houston. Now he's over in Baltimore, and I expect him to do the same thing. Lance.
Yep, I got Torrey Smith coming in at 22 on my list. I will say this, you know, for these receivers that we're going over right now, for me, you know, solid number two slash flex. The reason I'm throwing that flex in there, see, this is the thing with the guys we're going over now. You know, we're starting off 25, we're up to 20 now. I'm not expecting for the numbers to come in every single week, which is what
right.
I expect from a top 10 to 12 guy. So, you know, the catchy thing with this, with these guys here, you know, we're mentioning the Torrey Smiths, the Cordell Pattersons, the Percy Harvins, the Colstons. Sometimes it can be a little hard to gauge exactly when these guys are going to put up the numbers. And I think it's about what is your personal expectation from your number two receiver or from these guys. You look at Torrey Smith, look, we know he's Joe Flacco's number one option as far as outside receivers is concerned. Looking at his numbers, his first couple years in Baltimore, basically 850 yards, 7 and 8 TDs, but you know that time was at that time Ray Rice was a big part of the passing game, and Anquan Boldin was still over there. Dennis Pitta emerged. You look last year, and overall with him, the thing you do like is he averages a lot of yards per catch. For his career, 17 yards a catch in his first 3 years. So last year, only 65 catches, but had 1,128 yards. The problem is the four touchdowns. That is not going to cut it, absolutely not. He's got to pick the touchdowns up. And this year, I think that the Ravens are in a much better situation passing the football, so I'm not sure if that's going to be to his benefit or to hitting his production. Because like you said, last year, it was pretty much him. I mean, let's face it, that's all they pretty much had. Ray Rice was irrelevant in the passing game. Pitta was hurt. Jacoby Jones got hurt. Boldin was no longer there. So he was basically out there with Marlon Brown. So, I mean, this year they brought in Steve Smith. Jacoby Jones is healthy now. Marlon Brown's in his second year. And Dennis Pitta's back healthy. So, you know, you still like him as Joe Flacco's favorite target. You certainly like what he can do for you on a deep ball. You know, always gets the big plays. Again, he's a player that, you know, I would draft. He will be part of some depth. You know, he would be a guy that, along with some other receivers, I would probably be swapping out in some games, especially when you're looking at the AFC North. Very tough division there defensively, so you got to factor that into the equation as well. So I think that, you know, 20-21 is a good spot for Torrey Smith.
Macau, your favorite city.
Yeah, I like this youngin, you know, because he, you know, he's a Virginia boy, you know, went to UMD. He's a good dude. I mean, I like his speed. You know, I like speed guys. I really like his speed. But with this new balanced approach that I mentioned last week, that the Baltimore Ravens are shifting to, somebody's gonna have to step up and take some and get some more touchdowns. I don't know how that's gonna work going up against, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers and all them and whatnot. But somebody's gonna have to get the production up. I would put money on Jacoby more so than Torrey. You know,
really?
Yeah, I would. But I like Torrey. I really do. I don't expect Steve Smith to get a whole lot of touchdown production, but he is going to be, you know, more of a security blanket for Joe Flacco this year. But Torrey, I don't know if I would draft him. I really don't
wow.
know if I would draft him.
All right. Victor.
I mean, look at them numbers, man. I mean, you look at them numbers. Them touchdowns got to come up. Them touchdowns got to come up. Them yards got to come up. And we don't know who's going to be that guy for Flacco yet. We don't know.
Victor.
All righty. I don't know what he's on over there, but it must be good. Look, guys, exactly what Lance said earlier, and I hate saying this because it makes it seem like Lance is a know-it-all guy. We're at a point where we're talking about these guys that are interchangeable. They're not the guys you're going to leave in your lineup week to week. And that's why I have Torrey Smith down at 23, because I don't think he's that guy. But I do have a guy which is in the same area at number 20, and that's DeSean Jackson. He goes from a top 10 receiver to number 20. The reason why he goes to number 20 is because of the way Robert Griffin will be spreading the ball around. He's a guy that has big play ability, but because he's no longer the number one guy, he will not be getting those receptions and those touchdowns like he did in Philly last year. Best year ever last year. I don't think he's going to duplicate that this year. So, with that being said, I have him at number 20.
Okay. Let's move on to number 19. Tony G, 85 catches, 119 targets over the last two seasons, is gone from Atlanta. They took that tight end and ditched that type of tight end in their offense and will ride with a three-wide receiver base, meaning Julio Jones and Roddy White, who I have at number 19, are going to be returning as the focal points of that offense. I have Roddy White, who's 32, and was balling out at the late part of last season after he got over, for the most part, his injuries. As my number 19, and I think that can be with some upside because this offense is a, for the most part, a pass-happy offense with two of the best wide receivers in the game right now, still, and with a quarterback that can definitely get him the ball anywhere on the field. I like Julio Jones. I like Roddy White big time with some upside at number 19. Lance.
Yeah, I have him rated a little bit higher. I have him at 13 on my list. You know, now this could go both ways. I think that 19, I mean, you know, to me, when we're looking if any players, you know, we're talking about, these guys are five or six spots apart. You know, this is very, very close. So I think 13 and 19, I think that's very fair for him. Look, like you said, this offense is going to be pass happy, so you know that he's going to get his targets. And despite Julio Jones being the more big play guy due to his speed, due to his height, his athleticism, you best believe that Roddy White is going to continue to get a high volume of targets. There's no way. He's got the longest running rapport with Matt Ryan. So regardless of what Julio Jones does, you better believe that Roddy White is going to certainly get a heavy amount of targets. Like you said, Tony Gonzalez is not there, so you're removing 80 catches a year. That's got to be made up. Like you said, the Falcons are going to a three wide receiver set. I would probably say the biggest reason that I have them rated a little bit higher this year is Atlanta's defense at this point right now is horrible. So I'm looking at opportunity. I'm expecting for this Falcons offense to be on the football field an awful lot, considering how bad their defense is, and I think that's where there's really going to give his numbers a bump. And then especially in PPR league, Roddy's definitely a guy who you can get some 8, 9, 10. You know, he has a couple games a year where he gets 10-plus catches. So, rebound year. You said it, Jerry, last year fought injuries for the majority of the season, but when he was able to get fully healthy the last, three or four games of the season, we've seen it. You know, he's still one of Matt Ryan's favorite targets. So
right.
I think my only caution possibly there that you want to look at in Atlanta is pass protection. I know that they did go out and draft Matthews from Texas A&M, excellent pickup, but I've seen Sam Baker got injured pretty bad last night in the preseason game. I don't know if there's any word on him. And I certainly think that the Falcons as well are one injury away on offense at their skill position spots from possibly being in the same position they were last year. But I think at the end of the day, you can't go wrong. I think Roddy White, for me, is a sturdy number two receiver. I certainly would not mind having him be my number two receiver on a week-in and week-out basis. I think Atlanta throws the football that much.
Talk to me there, Mikal.
Yeah, I really like Roddy White. I really do. I definitely would draft him. I really like this tandem. I believe that this tandem is the best tandem in the league. I think he got him a little low, but I understand why. You know, he's hurt last year, but this dude's gonna come back. This dude's gonna come back strong. You expect Matt Ryan, to throw Matty Ice to throw the ball to him crazy. You know, Gonzalez is gone, like you said. And yeah, he's definitely poised for a big, big comeback. I would roll the dice on him. Definitely I would.
Talk to me, Victor.
Well, of course, Jerry, I'm glad you didn't bring up the issue as to why I got Roddy White one of the other leagues, but I, too, have him at 19. And one telltale sign that I think is going to prove to be good for Roddy this year is during Hard Knocks, on the sideline of one of their preseason games or something like that, Matty Ice said, "Hey, those are the routes that Tony G used to run. You don't do well in them." He said, "I still miss you, Tony G." But that tells me he's going to get a lot of inside stuff, a lot of short stuff to take it the distance and be a red zone target. So Roddy White, yes, I have him definitely at 19, and I think, like everyone has said, he's going to be very productive, even though he's at, at that age right now, and he just got a new contract for a couple years. So, good. Yeah, I can agree with you guys. 19, Roddy White.
And this guy at 18, maybe I'm ranking him too high, but this is where I have him. I think he's going to be a volume-dependent type of wide receiver. He's going to be lined up in the slot on the outside, and probably the featured player and on a run-first team. He's got a new head coach who was the ex-offensive coordinator for the Chargers and knows how to get the best, for the most part, out of a quarterback, and especially this quarterback who I really love. Jake Locker, who's got some issues in being in the accuracy department. Kendall Wright, I think they're going to a short passing game to hide Jake Locker's deficiencies in accuracy, like I said. And that's why I think he's going to be a high-volume guy and a big guy. And I premise this when I'm first talking about wide receivers in PPR. This is probably one of these guys that is going to benefit from a PPR league because the fact is he's probably going to get the ball and looked at more when the Jake Locker needs to pass, and Kendall Wright is where I got him at number 18, Lance.
Yeah, I don't have him inside the top 25 at all. I actually have him a whole lot farther down on my list.
Okay.
Looking at what happened last year, you know, you love the 94 catches, but only 1,079 yards on those 1,000 catches. Only 1,079 yards on those 94 catches. If you look at, you know, his first 2 years, he averaged basically 11 yards a catch, which is decent. Like you said, more PPR relevant, but PPR or regular fantasy, the 2 touchdown catches, certainly not. I cannot have a guy, you know,
yeah,
on my roster, you know, who's getting in the end zone 2 times a year, especially, you know, to be a number 2 receiver. In my personal opinion, it seems that Justin Hunter is the guy right now looking to have the most upside in that Tennessee passing game. Certainly no knock on Wright. I mean, he improved on his numbers big time. His numbers jump from 1 year to the next. So, I mean, so if he can continue to progress, I like him to Wright. I don't have anything against him, but I don't see Jake Locker. You know, we've talked about him a quite bit. The type of offense that they're running in Tennessee, which is going to be more of a ball control, you know, they don't have a team on paper really that can afford to be getting in shootouts and things of that nature. They have a pretty tough defense. I just, you know, from a statistical standpoint, if he was considered, it would be PPR, but I don't even think there's a guarantee that he can get 94 catches. I certainly don't see him getting over more than 1,100 yards, which he came close to. I will say the one positive is you certainly would have to think that this guy can improve on those measly 2 touchdowns that he scored last year. But I'm not too high on Kendall Wright at this point.
I said that this is probably going to be a controversial one, but it'd be disagreeable. Anyway, let's talk to McCall, Kendall Wright, Tennessee.
Yeah, I really, 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 really like Kendall Wright. I mean, this guy has all the tangibles, but he's on a very, very bad team. On top of that, he's got a quarterback that can't throw to him, and then add to the fact that they want to run the ball. You know, this kid's got to go to another team. I'm serious. I mean, this guy is a stud, straight stud. Just watching him, you know, watching him getting in and out of his cuts, how fast he's faster on the football field than he's clocked. So, you know, that's a telltale sign for me that, you know, how good he is. But as far as fantasy, no. I mean, because his numbers look just anemic here. With 94. And, you know, you like the 94 catches like Lance said, but, you know, the touchdowns ain't. They don't look like they're going to ever increase unless he gets off of this team. So I wouldn't draft him.
Okay. Okay. Victor.
I have that gentleman at number 28, and I believe Justin Hunter is the touchdown guy as of last night. At number 18, I actually have Wes Welker. But Kendall Wright is somebody that has a lot of potential. Unfortunately, as we all said, Jake Locker isn't that guy. I mean, hey, you can go out there on a limb if you want to, but I'd rather get somebody like Wes Welker at number 18 and be assured with Peyton Manning at the quarterback, he's going to get the ball somehow, some way. And, yeah, I have Wes at 18.
Okay. Let's move up to this guy. He's in tandem with a rookie that they drafted. Lovie Smith comes over to the Tampa Bay. They bring in a offensive coordinator, Jeff Tedford. And I teaming up with Vincent Jackson, and Lovie Smith already said it. He's got to get the ball to Vincent Jackson, and he's having a great camp. And in order for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to have success, Vincent Jackson has to have a great year. And they have Josh McGowan, who is used to throwing to, and I don't know if this is going to equate, but he did show a little bit better. And hopefully he'll show better in the future, especially in regular season games. I'm talking about Josh McGowan. That throwing to Vincent Jackson is a good thing, along with the rookie Mike Evans, and also the Austin Seferian Jenkins, who happens to be the tight end. All these guys are 6'6", 6'5", and 6'5". So we got some big wide receivers thrown to. Vincent Jackson is one of them, and that's why I have him rated number 17. Talk to me, Lance.
Yep, I have Vincent Jackson actually rated higher. I have him coming in at number 8. Number 1, if you look at what he's done in Tampa's first 2 years, 1,384 yards, 8 TDs. Last year, 1,224 yards, 7 TDs. Certainly, numbers that are worthy of a top, 10 receiver. We certainly would like to see those touchdowns in double digits, but the numbers are there. He's proven himself. I was a little bit, I wasn't too high on Vincent Jackson when he left San Diego to come to Tampa Bay. Wasn't quite convinced that he could be a number one receiver. The main thing that he has working for him is targets, 147 and 159 targets. Respectively, the last 2 years, you already know this guy is a solidified number one wide receiver on this team. Jackson is a guy who gives you a great value. I mean, where you can land him in drafts, I think you can put some studs in front of him, especially at that running back position. I love what Vincent Jackson brings to the table. You know he's going to get the targets. It's a big-time presence in the red zone. Very sneaky. This guy manages to get his fair share of deep balls, long touchdown catches, and I've seen he scored a touchdown in last night's preseason game against Miami. You know that Josh McCown is going to be looking for this guy, and I think the fact that McCown, as I mentioned previously, last year working in Chicago, he had some big wide receivers in Alshon Jeffrey and Brandon Marshall, so he's coming into a similar situation. So I think Vincent Jackson has a lot of upside. I'm quite sure he'll duplicate, be right around the 12 to 1,300 yards. And if he can get in the double-digit touchdowns, I think this guy definitely gives you a whole lot of bang for your buck. I'm pretty high on Vincent Jackson.
McCaff.
Did I say that Lance knows his football? I said that last week?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to say it again. This man know what he's talking about. Vincent Jackson is an all-out stud. He really is. And I expect him to have a career year this year. I think his numbers were, kind of in between. I mean, they've been consistent, but they're not worthy of showing of the top 10 status that he really is. This dude is definitely a top 10 wide receiver in the NFL. I expect him to have a career year this year with Josh McCown figuring out a way to get him the ball. If he's on the board, you know what I'm saying, and I'm drafting, I'm taking it. Number one or number two, it don't matter.
Victor.
Well, Mr. Taylor, again, this is why running backs are not wide receivers. I have Vincent Jackson rather high. I have him at number 11.
Okay.
Because he is that guy. And you team him with all that talent, as you were talking about, in Tampa Bay, he's going to be worth more than number 17. I think we're still talking about players that are consistent but not consistent enough to maintain that number one status on your team. And for that reason, I have Michael Crabtree at number 17. He is the main guy in San Fran. However, you got a lot of talent around with Anquan Boldin and Stevie Johnson and Vernon Davis, which devalues him just a little. But when he gets the ball in his hands, he's a playmaker. So that's where I think we are. That's where we are when we're talking about the talent level right now. And Vincent Jackson, in my opinion, is way above that. So I have him at number 11 and Crabtree at number 17.
Okay. Let's move on to the next one, number 16, in one of the most prolific offenses in the NFL. He checks in at number 16. He had 73 receptions, Didn't have 1,000 yards, but he had double-digit touchdowns. He went from one Hall of Fame quarterback to another and didn't skip a beat. I don't see him, even though Emmanuel Sanders came over to the Broncos, I don't see him skipping a beat again this year, barring health. He was the number 16 scorer on a per-game basis in fantasy, and like I said, he's got a clean bill of health at 33, and as long as he can stay away from any concussions, I think he's going to have a hell of a year and consistent Wes Welker type of year. I got him at number 16. Lance.
Yep. I've actually got Welker at – I've actually got Wes Welker at number 12 on my list. I think that he missed three games last year. So I truly believe that's the only reason that he didn't get his 1,000 yards. I truly believe, you know, that Manning would have made every effort in the book to have all three of his receivers with over 1,000 yards. It was really in those three games, too, that he was out, that Eric Decker's numbers were able to get inflated some. But you look at what Welker did. We all know this guy's a beast, especially in PPR action. Like you said, the main issue you were having with him in New England was touchdowns. Peyton Manning saw that problem last year. Used him in the red zone, got him out in some excellent matchups. He had a career-high 10 TD catches last year. And so I'm pretty high on Welker. You know, he'll certainly be right behind Demaryius Thomas. I think him and Julius Thomas will – I think Welker will get more looks. You know, he's still the best slot receiver. I mean, his track record is proven. Peyton Manning is going to continue to set him up in the best possible position that he can be in. You know that him and Manning work hard in the off season. So I really like Welker. He's another guy, real slippery. I mean, where you can land him in drafts gives you excellent value. And like I said, last year, 73 catches, 778 yards, 10 TDs. Best believe those numbers would have been higher if it wasn't for missing three games. So you mentioned it, Jerry, due to his size. You do sometimes worry about the concussion things. You know, he runs across the middle very fearless, so he'll take a lot of hits. But I think especially, it's already hard enough getting your hands on these slot receivers now with the new rules they're implementing to make life even rougher on these defensive backs, which I think is totally unfair. But we'll talk about that some other show. But I think Wes Welker is going to be one of Peyton Manning's top targets. And like I said, you've seen last year the reluctancy to pick Welker based on how many touchdowns he scored. That's been a race. This guy will definitely get the end zone playing with Peyton Manning. So I really like what Wes Welker brings to the table for your team.
Okay. Talk to me there, Mikal.
Oh, man, I'm really emotional about Wes Welker, man. I really,
really?
Don't like him. Yeah,
don't
I don't
break down
like
now.
Him.
Nah, really?
I don't like him. But he just still come to play. You got, it's like, I got to respect that. You know what I'm saying? But I don't like him. I don't like his game. I don't like it. I just don't like it. You know what I mean? I like wide receivers that, you know, that are athletic, that are fast, that, you know, that move. But this dude just come to work. He come to work, you know what I'm saying, put his work in. You know, now he's with Manning. Manning getting him in the end zone more so now. So, Me personally, I wouldn't draft him because I don't like him. But he's definitely a good. I would definitely say he's a good pickup. He really is. He really is.
Okay.
He's gonna show up. The concussions are an issue. Him getting hurt, but I don't see that being too much of a problem for him this year. I think he's gonna have another year just like he had last year. But I don't like him.
Okay. Victor.
All right. Well, I already mentioned Wes Welker, number 18. He is one of those guys that you can depend on for catches and stuff like that. Again, concussions and his hands have somewhat declined, so I don't know if he's going to be that good of a player. But at number 16, I have my namesake, a guy that I believe, like you said, Jerry, is not a number one, but he's still viable, and that's Victor Cruz, Mr. Salsa. I think he's going to be thrust into that number one wide receiver position this year because of who's there in New York. Will it bear fruit? I don't know, but that's why I had him
at number 16 and not higher, because he's not my guy that I'm going to leave in there every game. That's it.
Okay. Speaking of Mr. Victor Cruz, that's who I have at number 10. Excuse me, number 15. I'm sorry about that. The Giants hired Packers Packers coach Ben McAdoo to fix the offense and Eli Manning. They're going into a three-wide base in which Cruz will play the high-volume Randall Cobb role with the bookends of Reuben Randall and their rookie number 12 pick overall pick of Odell Beckham, who's injured right now. It's going to be a more up-tempo and a spread-out. It's going to be a West Coast type of offense, quick hitting plays and no huddle looks, which should play into Cruz's wheelhouse. He's just 27 and he could be in for a great year or a bust type of year, in my opinion. But I think that the upside, because of the type of offense that's going to be run and the makeover that they're going to have Eli Manning do instead of throwing deep like Eli Manning really likes to do, I think that they're going to go to, like I said, in a short passing game. And Victor Cruz should be a high volume, especially in PPR, type of guy playing in the slot. And that's who I have at number 15. I'm sorry. Wow. Victor Cruz. Lance, talk to me.
Yeah, I got some real mixed emotions on Victor Cruz. I think he's certainly a receiver who's got some pros and cons working for him. Looking at his numbers, we know that his greatest success came when he was thriving in that slot when he had a couple years ago Mario Manningham and Hakeem Nicks on the outside there. That was really 2011 was his season. That's when he burst onto the map, 1,536 yards, 9 TDs. 2012, stats tapered a little bit as far as yards, dropped off about 500 yards, but had another touchdown in there, so 10 TDs. And then last year, just got caught up in the web. You know, the Giants' offense as a whole crumbled. His numbers were attached to that. Didn't make 1,000 yards, missed a couple games at the end of the year, only 4 touchdowns. Those numbers weren't acceptable at all. He got off to an excellent start. I had him last year on my fantasy team. That opening week in Dallas, 118 yards, 3 TDs. Remember that game significantly. The 2 weeks later against Kansas City, 164 yards on 10 catches, a TD. Remember that game significantly. After that, rest of the season, this guy didn't get in the end zone. And so, I like Victor Cruz as a player. The knock is certainly not on him. I think that he was in another offense. He still, is a top-end guy. But new offensive coordinator, new system. He should be the main focus of defenses now. Like you mentioned, Reuben Randall and Odell Beckham are the other receivers there. So Cruz is going to be the main thing that defenses are going to attempt to stop. That was my other question. I'm happy you brought that to light because I was wondering myself, is he going to be spending more time on the outside now? Now that Nicks and Manningham, well, Manningham's actually back on the team, but he's, basically not his old self. So if Cruz is going to be playing a slot, then certainly, I think that adds some value to him. He'll get a lot more targets. If he's on the outside, he's going to be drawing tougher coverage. But in the type of offense you mentioned, Jerry, that they're going to be running, he certainly is going to be a guy who's getting a lot of targets. And regardless of what, he's certainly going to be Eli Manning's main target. I'm just a little bit worried about how that offense is going to perform. I mean, Eli Manning does not look good thus far in preseason. I know they're going to be trying to run the football quite a bit. The pro he has on his side as well, though, in a weak division. He certainly could pile up some stats. But Cruz, to me, a year ago was a concrete number two. And, again, this depends on how many teams are in the league you're playing in. If you're up 14, 16 teams, then certainly he's still a number two receiver. But if you're in a 10-team league I'm leaning towards more of a flex option. I need to see a little bit more in the preseason to kind of get a firm grasp on him, because, like I said, the four TDs scared me off, and Eli Manning's play and that new offense. I'm just kind of I don't know. You know, I got mixed emotions. I have Cruz right outside the top 25 on my board, being kind of like a low number two, more of a flex play. Yeah, I know it sounds a surprise because he's a named guy and he's put up the stats, but things have changed. You know, this thing in fantasy changes from year to year, and I've got to see it, Jerry. I've got to see it. You know, I've got to see it, Jerry.
Okay. Mikal.
Man.
NFC East rival, Victor Cruz.
Man, hold on. This dude from Cali, California got – hey, look, that sun's shining on you right, son. That sun is shining on you right. This dude knows what he's talking about. I mean, seriously. I like Victor Cruz. I'm talking about Lance. But I like Victor Cruz. I really do. I mean, because he's a very good, fundamentally sound wide receiver. You know, I don't like him doing his little punk salsa dance at FedEx Field and whatnot. But every time he do it, you know what I'm saying? He has beaten, you know, the DB, and he has beaten them, you know, fair and square. It wasn't no trick. It wasn't no, you know, it wasn't no nonsense. He's very good fundamentally, so I like him in that aspect. However, in fantasy, I couldn't take this dude. I mean, because you got Eli looking suspect, right? You got a revamped West Coast offense. I mean, because they've always ran West Coast offense. Eli's always ran that. They just revamping it because it was just a debacle last year, and it just sucked. They just gonna get back more into the running and maybe more little three wide receiver set type of nonsense. But I don't have any confidence in their passing game. They gonna have to show it, you know what I mean? And therefore, I wouldn't touch Victor Cruz.
Oh, okay, Victor.
Well,
your namesake.
Yeah, I already told you I have him right a step below.
Speak up, I can't hear you.
I said I already told you guys why I had Victor Cruz. I have him one step below at number 16. At number 15, I have a very reliable person. That's where I'm at in my ranking system. I'm starting to get to the folks that I can rely on for, you know, week-to-week production. And that brings me to Larry Fitzgerald. We talked about Malcolm Floyd at the beginning of this, and Malcolm Floyd is a guy that can help relieve some pressure off of Larry Fitz, and that's why I have him where he is at number 15. Still reliable, still can go down on the field, still can get open, can beat the man-to-man, finds his place in the zone, very dependable receiver, and that's where I have him at number 15 as I get into my I'm going to depend on these guys to help me week to week.
Okay. That's a great segue, Victor. I really appreciate that, because the next guy I'm going to talk to is the other side of the guy who's installed in that Bruce Arian type of offense. Got Carson Palmer, who these two veterans, Larry Fitzgerald and Carson Palmer, have gotten a pretty good rapport. He's no longer playing outside. He's playing inside now, which should give him every opportunity to score at least 10-plus touchdowns, especially when the featured back won't be featured at the goal line, and that's good. More good news for Larry Fitzgerald. The bad side is, and maybe it's a good side, $23 million next season will be the 20% of Arizona's salary cap. That's going to be difficult and probably impossible for Larry Fitzgerald to take that. I just said to Arizona to take that, the hit. Not unless he accepts a major restructuring deal. So, or he could get cut or traded. But I think he's still going to have a 1,000-yard season. I still think he's going to be consistent enough to warrant being number 14. And I see him getting, like I said, double-digit touchdowns. He didn't get 1,000 yards last year, but he got double-digit touchdowns with 10, with 82 receptions. So I don't see him skipping a beat there. I think he's Mr. Old Reliable in Arizona for many years and well-respected. Got Larry Fitzgerald, number 14, Lance.
Yep, I'm right with you. I got him booked in at 16. It's really about Carson Palmer's play at the end of the day. I mean,
yep.
When we talk about age, when it comes to players, and particularly, you know, wide receivers, running backs, so we talk about speed. You can't say Larry Fitzgerald has lost a step because speed was never his calling card. You look at all the other attributes; he has them all: route running, hands. One of the smartest players in the NFL. And, you know, him and Carson Palmer have a ton of rapport. You mentioned last year the 10 TD catches, and you're starting to see what a lot of these wide receivers, teams are getting wise and putting these guys in the slot. I see Calvin Johnson mm-hmm. in the slot a mm-hmm. lot more, A.J. Green. Mm-hmm. You know, these guys are moving over into that slot where they're getting lined up against a nickel, a linebacker, or a safety. So
right.
I like what Larry Fitzgerald is going to bring to the table. He's another guy I think that where you can land him on the draft board is excellent. I think he's a certified number two receiver. So, you know, I think 1,100 yards is certainly in the cards for him. The double-digit TDs, you love that. My only concern with him and a couple other receivers, and to me, what are the toughest two defensive divisions, the AFC North and the NFC West. Certainly you got some tough matchups there against San Francisco, against Seattle, against the Rams. But I think, you know, in half of those games, he'll pop through. You know, you can't always go on how it looks on paper. So I certainly like what Larry Fitzgerald brings to the table. He's certainly, to me, a legitimate starter at number two receiver for your team the majority of the year outside of a couple tough matchups, maybe with some division foes.
Okay. Let's move on to Mikal. Good one there, Lance. Go ahead,
Mikal. Yeah, that was a real good one, Lance. I'm really emotional about Larry Fitzgerald as well.
Damn, you emotional guy today, man.
Hey, dude. I'm a wide receiver. You know what I mean? I like wide receivers. You know what I'm saying? That's what I am. That's what I've been. You know what I'm saying? But Larry Fitzgerald has just had a bum deal, man. Out there in Arizona, it's almost criminal that he's only had, like, really two quarterbacks, you know, during his tenure there. You know, Warner, when he got him in the Super Bowl, and now
mm-hmm.
maybe Carson Palmer. You know, it could be, may not be. You know, I honestly, I really don't like Carson Palmer with him. So, but the dude comes to play. You know what I'm saying? He's got everything you want. He's got that. He's got the right attitude. He plays the right way. You know, he trains the right way. You can see it in his route running. I mean, and the dude's catch radius is ridiculous. It's been ridiculous for a long time, for a very long time. I've liked this dude for a long time. I definitely would pick him up. I don't know if he's a number one, but I definitely would get him.
Okay. Victor.
As you guys know, I had Larry last pick, and I think it's a safe bet to say he's reliable. This next guy, I'm going to say, at my number 14, he's reliable. But I don't trust this quarterback. That's why he's so low on my list.
You got to speak into the phone, man, because I can hardly hear you.
Yeah.
Okay. I was saying that the next guy on my list is number 14 is not Larry Fitz, because you just saw I had him last pick. But this guy mm-hmm. I have right now, I do not trust his quarterback. That's why he is so low. And that would mean Andre Johnson. I have Andre Johnson at number 14 because I don't trust his quarterback situation. That is the only okay. reason why he is this low. Very dependable, somebody I like. He's my number
okay.
14.
All right. We got a little bit more than a minute left of the two-hour show, but we're going to go into overtime to cover the last 13 players and maybe some of the wide receivers that are left off this top 25. We have plenty of time to do that as long as you guys can hang with me. We can do this. Tune in next week for those who are going to leave us, and we'll be talking about my favorite position, which is running backs in fantasy, for those who are going to leave us, If you are, then tune into the archives so you can catch the last part of this show. It's going to be talking about the next 13 leading up to number one, and also some of the, like I said, some of these wide receivers have been left off the list. Same time, same place. Lance and I will definitely be here. Whoever calls in, and we can get them involved in the conversation too. But until then, thanks for listening, and we're going to be going to overtime right now. So right now we're into overtime, and we're going to start in overtime with number 13, who's on a team that has one of the top three or four quarterbacks in the league. James Jones is gone. JerMichael Finley is not there anymore, and the tight end that's taken his spot is not as prolific a pass catcher as they, meaning Andrew Corliss, as JerMichael Finley. So Randall Cobb is getting moved back into the slot role, and where he thrived, even though he did thrive on the outside, and Jarrett Boykin is going to be on the opposite on the outside with Jordy Nelson. Randall Cobb had 31 catches, a little more than 400 yards and four touchdowns last year in limited duty. I expect him, as long as he's healthy, and he's like a Percy Harvin type of wide receiver in my opinion, as long as he's healthy, he's a very, very explosive player and is in the perfect position in this offense, in the slot, to get the best out of his talents. So that's one of the reasons why I have him at lucky 13, and he could possibly be even higher depending on his what he does for the season. So talk to me there, Lance. Randall Cobb,
yep,
I have him at lucky 13.
Yep, sounds about right to me. I have him slotted in at 14. Look, and I'll give him the benefit of the doubt with his injuries. He's been on the football field. That injury he suffered last year just kind of got caught up in the wash with defenders, you know, feeling
mm-hmm.
like they have to go low to avoid a concussion. So that you know, certainly was just a kind of a bad accident there, him catching. Yeah, same, it's similar injury we've seen with Gronkowski, you know, guy running and just going for the lower body. So, yeah, you already know. And I'm happy you brought that point up, Jerry, because I was wondering – about that myself. Like you said, it's not the old Packers we're used to with Greg Jennings gone, Donald Driver's gone, JerMichael Finley's gone. They also got Eddie Lacy back there now, so you got a power running game that they're looking to relieve some of the pressure off Aaron Rodgers and some of the poor pass protection they've had over the years. But certainly, coming out that slot, Randall Cobb is definitely one of the top five slot receivers in the NFL. This guy, you know, gets in and out of his cuts, real good route runner. We've seen it. You know, when he came back into action after being out last year, Aaron Rodgers had no problem hooking back up with him, you know, end up scoring the game winner against Chicago to send him to the playoffs. So, yeah, like you said, as long as he's on the football field, this guy's a monster out there, man. I think with Aaron Rodgers being a quarterback, he's in a much better position to succeed than Percy Harvin. And, yeah, I like Randall Cobb a lot. I think he's a guy that, again, you can catch, you know, in a good position on a draft board, can stack some studs in front of him. And, yeah, man, I just think that overall you just want to look at how Green Bay's philosophy may change, if any, you know, if they're not going to be passing as much with Eddie Lacy back there. But Randall Cobb is certainly, I would say to me, he's just as much of a top target for Aaron Rodgers, just as much as Jordy Nelson. I think Nelson just gets more touchdowns, you know, especially on that back shoulder throw. But I like Randall Cobb a lot. I think he's an excellent pickup for your fantasy football team. He's, especially in PPR leagues, he can end up being a guy who ends up with an awful lot of catches. Sometimes you just want to, you know, monitor how much he gets in the end zone. And then real quick, too, he's another guy who can help you out running back some punt returns as well.
Yep. Yep. Hey, Mikal.
Yeah. Randall, hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah,
oh,
I'm here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I didn't know if I started me, but no, my bad. Anyway, Randall Cobb. Radikov is a fairly decent wide receiver. I'm not too high on him, but you know, I'm more high on the respect for him. You know, I think his game is very, very good. You know, I definitely would roll the dice on him more so than I would roll the dice on some of these other players that are in the same predicament as he is. You know, just coming off injuries and being kind of injury prone, stuff like that. So that's all I'm gonna say about him.
All right, Victor.
Randall Cobb, I have him slated at number 10. Number 13 is the guy I have is Pierre Garçon. I think Pierre is in a position to be in a sharing situation again, just like I said about DeSean Jackson. That's why I have him ranked at number 13. Randall Cobb is that dynamic player. He's becoming more dependable, especially with Jordy Nelson getting hurt last year and being inconsistent. Both of them got hurt, actually, but I'll explain that a little later once we get to that area. But I have Pierre at number 13 for obvious reasons. Too many weapons in D.C., not enough balls to go around.
Well, that's where I'm headed right now, headed to D.C. Out are the shenanigans. In comes Jay Rudin with a pass-happy type offense that had Andy Dalton, yes, Andy Dalton, threw the ball 36, almost 37 times a game last season. In comes DeSean Jackson, who will probably clear the space out to for Pierre Garçon to get more touchdowns and see his yards per reception go up, not necessarily his be it target or reception magnet. But I think Pierre Garçon, who was the favorite target of Robert Griffin III, as long as Griffin III and Jay Gruden's pass-happy offense is in effect, then I think Pierre Garçon is going to be it would be the wide receiver I would want if I was drafting a wide receiver early. And I was in a position to draft a wide receiver, and Pierre Garçon was sitting out there. I have him slated in at number 12. He had 113 receptions. I don't think he's going to get that with 1346. I don't think he's going to get that. Just like Victor said, he got a lot of mouths to feed. Andre Roberts, DeSean Jackson, Jordan Reed, Santana Moss, and a little bit of Roy Helu and maybe a mix of Alfred Morse out of the backfield. But clearly, Pierre Garçon is number one, and clearly, in my opinion, he starts the in a 12-team league as the 12th rated wide receiver on my list. Lance.
Yep, I like the positioning there. I have Garçon at 15 myself. And like you said, I mean, with DeSean Jackson on the other side, him and Jackson were on two different teams last year. Both players had over 1,300 yards receiving. You certainly want to see Garçon's touchdown pick up. He only had 5 TDs last year. Slight injury concern there, not a major one, but slight injury concern. You know, the year before he got injured and missed a lot of time in RG3's rookie season. Last year, you know, couple games out. So, I mean, slight concern there on the injuries. But he was proven to be a legitimate number one wide receiver. So, I mean, the only thing you're wondering now is, like you said, a lot of balls is going to have to go around. You're certainly not expecting over 100 catches for 1,300 yards, but 80 catches over 1,000 yards. And if he can get those TDs up, I think he's definitely a legitimate number two receiver. You know, if he was by himself, I'd say number one, but I think with him and Jackson being on the same team, you both look at them as quality number two starters. So I like Pierre Garçon a lot. He's another guy who's very tough to bring down after the catch, and he's a speedy guy too. You know, if he gets in the open field, it's not easy to catch him. So, I mean, this one is really on Jay Gruden and RG3. You know, if they can get that offense clicking, this can certainly be a big year for Garçon and Jackson, and I don't think there'd be any reason why they wouldn't want to exploit those matchups at every opportunity that they get.
All right, Mikal, this is your hometown.
Yeah, you know, I would like to pay a compliment and take a shot at the same time. So I want you to carefully pay attention to this one. I really, really like how Lance is breaking down what he thinks about the player that the host is talking about and then gives where he has him on his list. I really like that, and I really respect that. It makes the show run fluidly. Now, on to Garcon.
Okay.
Garcon is really good, you know what I mean? I think, I don't know if Gruden is going to be as pass-happy as he was in Cincinnati. So, of course, the targets are going to come down. You definitely want to pick up Garcon if he's there, if he's available. I definitely would draft him. The dude is like Lance said, the dude is a monster, you know what I mean? He is. He's going to fight for every yard. Look for him to be in the 10 to 12 touchdown range this year, and it should be a lot easier for him because Deshaun is going to open it up. I think they're going to tinker some with the offense, but I don't think it's going to look too much different than it did last year. Except for, you know, no read options. Hopefully we'll see, you know, some more bootlegs, you know what I'm saying, with Garcon coming out and, you know, RG hitting them with a quick five, 6 yard out route, something like that. Him or Deshaun come across in a quick little slant, getting them in open space the best way they possibly can. You see more of that. So I think his numbers will be somewhere in the 70, 65, 70 range, something like that.
Victor,
you know, I'm not going to talk about others. This is, you know, my shows, but it's okay. I like the Lance. I love what you bring. It's always an outsider talking trash. So
what are you talking about? I gave the man a compliment, man. I gave the man a compliment.
He did.
I ain't say nobody else's name.
I know you
yep.
did, but you said you took a shot. You said you were taking a shot. I know what you were taking a shot at, but that's okay. That's all right.
Let it go,
I'm gonna tell y'all real quick, man. I got a cousin. Shout out my cousin Craig, man, up there in the Maryland area. I'm gonna have to come out there before the year is over. I can only imagine what watching football is like at y'all house, man, on a Sunday, man. So I gotta find a way to get out there before the year is over,
hey,
man.
This a family thing, dog.
This Bama is a defensive back for real, and I'm a wide receiver, so you know we're gonna be going.
Hey, it is what it is. Family loves family. That's why, you know, some are better than others, but it's okay. I didn't say who.
I said who.
I appreciate the compliment. Now,
okay,
moving
Victor.
On to number 12. Moving on to
yes.
number 12. As you know, I already said Pierre was my number 13, hence
mm-hmm.
his shot. But I have Keenan Allen at number 12.
Okay.
I'm starting to get to that area where I'm looking at, okay, these guys are number one. There is no other option, or the options are very minimal on the teams. And Keenan Allen had a very good year last year. And I think he's poised to do a little bit more. Denario Alexander and all those other cats are coming back this year, which is going to help him with the institution of the new tight end along with Antonio Gates. I think Keenan Allen is going to have a better year this year. That's why I have him at number 12 and Pierre down at number 13.
Okay.
And I'm very short and succinct with my explanation. I don't need to go 20 minutes, you know, killing time. I'm just saying. No shot at nobody else.
New guys.
anyway, since 2008, 115, 1575 yards. 2009, 101, 1569 yards. Both of those respectively 8 and 9 touchdowns. 2010, not 100 receptions, but 86 receptions, still over 1,000 yards, 1,216 yards. Injury year in 2011, only 33 catches and 492 yards. The last 2 years, over 100 receptions, 112 in 2012, 109 in 2013. 2012, almost 1,600 yards and 1,598 yards, only four touchdowns. 2013, 109 receptions and 1,400 yards and only five touchdowns. And in 2013, went through Case Keenum, Matt Schaub, and a little bit of T.Y. Yates. This guy's been a beast for quite a bit of time. Up in the air whether he was going to come back to the team because of the quarterback situation. Brought in Ryan Fitzpatrick and a new quarterback in Tom Savage. This guy is the number one wide receiver. Still a beast, in my opinion. I know I'm being a homer, but that's okay. Andre Johnson is the epitome of a professional, especially a wide receiver and not a diva. And a lot of these wide receivers have tendency to be divas. That's why I have him listed as my number 11 wide receiver on my list. Talk to me, Lance.
Yep, still got to give Dre his respect. You already know that. Went healthy, and you mentioned that that was really the only time that those numbers since 2008 have fell off the map. We're looking at five out of his last 6 years, over 1,200 yards receiving. So Andre Johnson, I've got him on my board at number seven. The only concern with Andre Johnson is touchdown scored.
Right.
His last 3 years, and 2011 was the year that he was injured. So we'll excuse that. But in 2012 and 2013, what stopped him from being at the top of the fantasy board for wide receivers was his touchdowns. You mentioned it, 1,598, basically 1,600 yards, 2012, 1,400 last year. But this guy is only getting in the end zone four times, 2012, and five times last year. So, I mean, that's really only been the only ever knock on Andre Johnson. He's never had double-digit touchdowns in his entire career. You know, when a couple years ago, when him and Larry Fitzgerald at that time were considered the top two wide receivers, right before Calvin Johnson kind of took over, when he put together back-to-back 1,500-yard seasons, 8-9 TDs. So, I mean, touchdown catches, I think, are the only thing that you, you know, he could break the bank. You know, if he gets in that end zone more, I mean, in PPR leagues, you love him. He racks up the catches, over 100 catches. You love the yards. I mean, this guy's consistent getting you 100 yards. You know, he has some big games throughout the year, 150 yards, 160 yards. But he's got to get in that end zone some more. But a surefire number one receiver, certainly a powerful number two receiver if you end up matching him up possibly with another wide receiver. So I like Johnson a lot. I think the only thing, another thing that could be of concern is, like I said, not a lot of depth. You know the teams are going to concentrate on him, but he finds a way to get around that. You know, no matter who the quarterback is, he gets a high volume of targets, had over 180 targets last year, and I expect for that to continue. You know, I am anxious to see how this Texans offense as a whole operates, but I don't think you can go wrong with Andre Johnson. He's still a guy that dominates one-on-one matchups, and I just would like to see him get in the end zone a little bit more. That would certainly push him up into a top five wide receiver.
Mikal.
Definitely emotional about this guy. I mean, this guy has been, you know, just like the perfect wide receiver for a number of years, just a number of years. And when this man held out this year, I listened. You know what I mean? You listen to a dude like that. So I'm really concerned about, you know, his touchdowns this year. I mean, as far as fantasy-wise, I'd be really concerned about that because I don't know what this offense is going to look like. But if Andre Johnson has decided he wanted to hold out because he don't like the way it's looking, it's not looking good, in my opinion. It's not looking good at all. But the man came back. They talked to him. You know what I'm saying? And Andre Johnson, no. His window is closing, man. His window is closing. And that was probably one of the main things. He was looking at this window was closing. And then he's looking at this like, oh, my goodness, we rebuilding? And you don't think a guy like that don't understand that or don't see that? So, you know, I have a lot of respect for him, a whole lot of respect for him. I just hope that this offense, you know, can push them a lot further than I see on paper. Honestly, I don't see it, but, you know, because I would like to see Andre Johnson get, you know, at least get to play in the Super Bowl. You know, Fitzgerald got to play in the joint, but I would like to at least see him play. But I don't know if that's going to happen. But I definitely would pick him in fantasy league, but don't listen to me because that would be an emotional pick. So there you go.
You're awful emotional today then, Mikal.
I'm a receiver, man. I'll be looking at that. That's who I look at. That's who I'm watching. When I watch football, I like to watch the wide receivers. The Divas, too.
Okay.
If I would have known that, Mikal, I would have got a box of tissue out to you this week, man. You've been real emotional on these receivers, man.
You can go ahead and send me some tissue about a dude like Andre Johnson. I ain't even mad. I mean, think about it, man. This dude been, you know, putting the work in and year out, and now you got this dude quarterbacking? Seriously?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Victor.
All right. Well, for that reason, that's why I had Andre Johnson number 14. Actually, a guy you guys had lower, I have at number 11, which is Vincent Jackson. I like both players. I really do. If the quarterback situation in Houston was better, I would have Andre Johnson ranked higher. However, I don't. So when I look at what Vincent Jackson can do and what's going to happen with Tampa Bay, I think he's poised to be that big, big player this year, along with the likes of Brandon Marshall and folks like that. So for that reason, I have Vincent Jackson number 11.
Okay. All right, we're going to move out to the left coast. What's that?
Did he say 11 or 14?
He said 14.
Andre Johnson is number 14, but I have Vincent Jackson at number 11.
Okay.
All right.
Because I was a little confused.
Yeah, we're going to move out to the left coast. And hopefully, because they lost the offensive coordinator in Ken Whisenhunt, the Chargers don't take a back seat with the quarterback coach, which is Frank Reich of Buffalo Bills fame, being elevated to the offensive coordinator position. Keenan Allen came on the scene. Surprised a lot of people, didn't surprise me. He helped me win one of my championships last year. 71 catches. He had 1,046 yards and 8 touchdowns in his rookie year, which is an anomaly for rookie receivers. Most rookie receivers don't break out like Keenan Allen did. Phillip Rivers immediately got a pretty good rapport with him. He's the number one option in this offense. More than likely, Antonio Gates, which is a BFF for Phillip Rivers, is number two. They also have Danny Woodhead in that passing offense, but Keenan Allen and the chemistry that they have with Phillip Rivers is definitely a legit guy that can have a shot at 100 catches this year. And probably be still in the third round. That's where you probably can get him in the third round, but it probably be a steal because I see this guy's upside being, I wouldn't say through the roof, but his ability, he did it in his rookie year. I see his second year not as I know defenses are probably going to key on him, but I think he's just going to build on what he established in the first year, another year in the league, another year experience with the quarterback and in the offense. I like Keenan Allen big time. This year for the San Diego Chargers, that's why I have him at number 10. Keenan Allen, Lance.
Yep, I'm right on board with you, Jerry. I got him in at number 9. This guy's a big-time talent. When he came out of college, he actually had first-round talent. It was the injury. You know, he's kind of injured his last year at California. before coming out, which kind of dropped, you know, took a hit to his stock in the draft. But he's a first-round talent. So the Chargers definitely got a steal. You know, they're out here in California, so they're able to watch him closely, you know, over the years. Look, this guy, man, has the full package. He's good at route running, good hands, good athleticism. In off season, he's improved his speed. And you said it, you know, he got off to a slow start. It wasn't until Malcolm Floyd went down a couple games in the last season before Allen got onto Rivers' radar. But they built chemistry real quick. You've seen Rivers express a whole lot of confidence in him early on in the last season. So with another offseason under his belt, without question, he's coming in any time you can be the main target for, you know, Phillip Rivers or Drew Brees, Brady, any of these guys, you're going to succeed. And so I think Keenan Allen is certainly going to improve on his numbers. I expect him to be over 1,000 yards. And, look, that's what we were talking about earlier, Jerry. I think, you know, you look at a comparison to him like a guy versus Kendall Wright. That was the difference. They both had barely over 1,000 yards. But it was 8 touchdowns that Keenan Allen scored. He's going to get in that end zone, you know. So I like Keenan Allen, that guy. I think he's another guy that where you can land him in drafts, and that's really where I'm at with the situation. You know, I love the big receivers, the big guys, the top 10 and top 5 that we're going to get into. But from what I'm hearing, at least from yourself, I know how I like the draft. I've heard from Mikal. I haven't heard from Vic yet. I'd like to hear from him, but I like to give me two stud running backs. And so these guys that we're talking about, the Vincent Jacksons, the Keenan Allens, you know, these guys are certainly guys that can come in. Andre Johnson, you know, and after you grab a couple stud running backs, these are guys that are some excellent lead number one wide receivers for your football team. So I like Keenan Allen. He's definitely going to be Phillip Rivers' main target on the outside in San Diego.
Mikal.
This youngin is a cold beast. Cold beast. Beast. I fully expect for him to have a more of a breakout season this year. Like I said, I don't know if y'all remember last week. I said I'm pretty high on the Chargers. I'm pretty high on the Chargers. This youngin is good. I can't say enough superlatives about him. I definitely would draft him. You know, as my top wide receiver, I would definitely have him in my first slot and have him in there every week and just go with it. Seriously.
Yep.
Even though he's young and he's only there for 1 year. Look, Phillip Rivers knows a good thing, and he's going to get that ball to him. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Victor.
All right, I had this guy already, so I'm going to move to my number 10, which is Randall Cobb. We already talked about him. I think that Keenan Allen, who's my number 12, is an excellent guy to have, a young guy, and he has nothing but positive things to go upward in. I think Randall Cobb is in the same position. They're going to use him in a joker position as well in the running back and the wide receiver and the kick game. Again, just like Lance said, I do prefer to go running back, but also I like to look at where I'm drafting. So in the first round, if I'm at the bottom of the first round, hey, I mean, I might go get Peyton. I might go get Aaron. I might go get Drew and then come back and get one of those nice running backs later, because these guys I'm talking about right now are going to be in the third round. They're going to be in the fourth round. So I can fill up a lot of excellent spots and don't fall off too far from what the people they drafted ahead of me. So, again, that is why I have Randall Cobb here, because he gives me three options when he touches the field. And he begins my top 10.
Okay. I'm with you.
All right. Here we go. We're into the top 10 now, and this is number 9. Guy scored 7 touchdowns, over 1,400 yards, and 89 receptions. Second-year wide receiver in Mark Trestman's offense. 6'3", 216 pound, and was a red zone beast. One of the favorite targets, especially when Josh McGown was the quarterback. He was looking for Alshon Jeffrey bunch. That helped him post two 200-yard games, 200-yard games, I should say, ranked him 12th in yards per catch, and in his second year went to the Pro Bowl. He had a good mentor, let me put it this way, in Brandon Marshall.
Yes, sir.
With the two big wait a minute, just let me finish. Had a tandem of Brandon Marshall on one side and Anshon Jeffrey on the opposite side is a DB nightmare, in my opinion. I can only expect bigger things for Alshon Jeffrey this year, along with healthy Jay Cutler. A lot of weapons in Chicago with Matt Forte coming out of the backfield, Martellus Bennett roving the middle, and these two beasts on the outside, Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey. That's one of the reasons why this is the first of the duo that's in the top 10, and I have Alshon Jeffrey number 9. Lance.
That's what's up, Jerry. I see that a lot of our rankings are very close by each other. So that's pretty interesting to see there. So we got interchangeable. I got Alshon at number 10. This guy is definitely a monster. He's been a monster since he was back at University of South Carolina. And it was definitely good to see him do his thing last year because he struggled as a rookie. I thought when Chicago picked him up, it was an excellent draft pick because, like I said, at South Carolina, this guy was a monster. So it was really good to see him blow up last year. And like you said, I mean, everything's set up for success. When you have a breakout year like that, you know, his confidence is there. This guy has some huge hands, man, some short hands. Playing opposite Brandon Marshall, he's definitely going to have his fair share of single coverage. Like you said, he's got a great mentor in Brandon Marshall over there. And so I can't say, you know, 1,400 yards again, maybe not. You know, he's certainly a 1,300, you know, 1,400, that's an awful lot of yards. So I can't quite say he can maybe get those yards again, but the receptions, 89, could possibly improve on that. And I think the 7 touchdown catches. So I think his numbers are balanced out. You know, I think he may be a little less yards, but more touchdowns. And yeah, I got him in at number 10. He's certainly, like you said, tied up there or close by. You know, people have different opinions about the best wide receiver doing the league. But yeah, Alshon Jeffries, he arrived last year, and he's here to stay. He ain't going nowhere, man. He's a big time target in the red zone. He's definitely a guy that you want on your fantasy football team.
Cal.
Yeah, I like Alshon Jeffries. He is a beast. You know, I don't like his mental. I think his mental is saw, and I think that Bama that's coming across the middle playing tight end with them too, he's soft too. You can punch both of them dudes in the mouth and they're gonna start crying and whining. Oh, you're not supposed to hit me like that. And these dudes, it's like 6'5", you know, over 230 some odd pounds, crying like some. I don't like them dudes, man. But Alshon Jeffries is good. He's a cold beat. He's the only man amongst them three little boys. I mean, amongst them two, beside them two little boys. I don't like Brandon Marshall. I don't.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm emotional.
Victor.
I'm emotional.
Victor.
Wow.
Victor.
Okay. I didn't think we were talking about that, but we got. Number.
Yeah, but I did get my ranking on it.
I actually have Alshon Jeffries ranked higher. I have him actually at number 7. This person I have right now at number 9, Jerry's probably going to disagree. I know he's going to disagree with me because we had a debate about it last year. I have Antonio Brown ranked at number 9. The reason being is because this guy is pretty much the go-to guy right now for Pittsburgh. Yesterday he had, an 80-yard touchdown, 70-something yard touchdown, and he has jets. He has jets. And he's a guy I can steal if I go with my philosophy of running back, or quarterback running back in maybe the fourth round. Maybe. So because of his availability and what he is to the team, that's why I have him at number 9. And I one caveat on what my cousin said. Brandon Marshall has changed his attitude a little bit. He used to be that crybaby type, so I understand where he's coming from. I think he changed. Martellus Bennett, something's wrong with that boy, he and his brother. But they're productive. The only thing I don't like about Alshon Jeffries is Jay Cutler likes to throw the ball to Brandon Marshall a lot. He got all that stuff with Case with McMahon. So that's my only concern, but I still have him ranked higher because of his ability back when he was at South Carolina. I agree with you, Lance. The kid is straight up beast all the time. Straight up beast all the time. It's just a matter of, getting the ball. And if Jay throws in the ball, he'll get it. This is signed San Antonio Holmes. So that's going to cut in to his receptions even further. So that's what I got on that.
This next guy, when you spread your opinion of a guy in fantasy and it pans out, it's like a kid being birthed, in my opinion, that you brought and was able to bring to light to a lot of people. Even though there was a lot of naysayers and disbelief about what you were saying, until the guy came about and actually caught 110 passes, 1,500 yards, and 8 touchdowns in an offense that features him because of the so-called number one wide receiver went to Miami. Now, Victor had touched on it, and I had told him about him last year, and like he said, we had discussions on it, and he was one of those naysayers that didn't believe what I was talking to him about Antonio Brown.
I already admitted it.
At number 8, showed out just like I knew he would. If you were able to see what he was able to produce before Mike Wallace left and the type of offense that Todd Haley was installing last year, and expounded on it last year, and it's even going to be more prolific, in my opinion, this year. I can't see but upside for Antonio Brown. He's got a $43 million contract a few years ago, and he hasn't taken his foot off the pedal ever since he got put into that number one role. And this pass-happy, high-percentage passing game of Todd Haley is ideal for Antonio Brown and the speed he brings when he gets the ball in his hand. I love him at number 8. Lance, this is my baby, one of my babies from last year that came to light, Antonio Brown.
Yep, I know you guys are going to be shocked on my ranking. Jerry, you haven't, I think since the opening week, you've expressed very high praise for him. I actually had him on my team. Not last year, but back in 2012, he helped me win a fantasy championship when Mike Wallace was still there. Look, this is my ranking on him. I have him ranked at number 18. My ranking on him is, I know that hurt your feelings there, Jerry. I know that's your guy. Now, look, I'm going to tell you, my ranking on him is not based on him as a player. I love Antonio Brown. This guy is excellent as far as being a very quick receiver. He gets out in and out of his cuts, route running, got good hands. I mean, he's really the full package. My concern here is this. To me, last year was an aberration. I think he caught people off guard. People were used to Mike Wallace being the number one guy there. I do not see him getting 110 catches this year. I think that'll be down towards maybe 80 to 90, still good for PPR. 1,500 yards, I don't see that happening again this year. I think he's down to maybe around 1,150. Now, he had 8 touchdowns. That could possibly go up a couple, but I look at the division as well. I mentioned to you that, in my opinion, the NFC West and the AFC North have the toughest defenses. And so you look at coming out the gate, he's got Joe Hayden, Cleveland week one. Baltimore's got a nasty front seven. There's a couple good corners in week two. Carolina's got a nasty front seven week three. And so that AFC North division is tough, but he's got enough games where he can excel. He's definitely going to be Ben Roethlisberger's number one target. But like I said, this year, he's not going to catch anybody by surprise. He's going to be the main thing that defenses are scheming for. He's going to draw the top coverage. They lost Emmanuel Sanders, so Marcus Wheaton is there. So, I mean, with him being the main focus, I don't see another year of 110 balls and 1,500 yards, but he's still an excellent pick. And as Victor mentioned, where you can get this guy, he'll give you excellent value. I think a legitimate number two. I wouldn't put him as a number one yet, but a legitimate number two you want to have in there every week, because even if on the week he's getting you low yards, especially when Ben Roethlisberger's in scramble mode, him and Brown hook up a lot in that end zone. And so, yeah, I think I like Antonio Brown a lot. I just got him coming down to some changes out there in Pittsburgh. But he's a very good football player. He's certainly a guy that I would pick up on my team.
Hey, Lance, you went a long time before I could disagree with you. Finally, I could say it. I disagree with you, Lance.
Okay.
This dude is a cold beast. You want him number one. The moment that you can grab this youngin, you want to grab him. I think. I mean, this kid's putting up. He's getting at least five catches a game, man. And he's gonna give you five. He's gonna give you five, maybe 60 yards, and maybe one or two touchdowns a game. And I don't foresee that changing. That's what, about 80 catches. So yeah, I might agree with you a little bit. The 100 might come down. So 80, 90, he's still gonna be that dude. He's still gonna be that dude. Ben's gonna scramble out of the pocket and do that sandlot stuff that he like to do, and he's gonna get the ball down in the end zone. And Young's gonna have about 10 touchdowns. So I don't see too much of that falling off. And the Steelers organization, look, they don't put no money behind something that ain't real. And I'll be straight up honest with you, they don't, because they've gotten rid of some good wide receivers that I thought was some good wide receivers, and I'm like, okay, why did they do that? But then as, you know, things played out, I'm like, oh, okay, I see why they did that. I can understand that, but they keeping this youngin? Nah, mm-mm. This youngin's a cold beast. You want to grab him, definitely.
Victor?
Well, I already told you what I think about the guy. I have him ranked at number 9. I like him. I would have him higher, but I'm not sure what Lance Moore or anybody else is going to do over there. For that reason, I have Jordy Nelson at number 8. I think Jordy is going to come in because of the running back situation in Green Bay. He's going to take the place of Jermichael Finley. He's going to be that possession guy, because you got Randall Cobb, who can be the deep threat along with some other stuff, and you got Josh Boykin, who can take Randall Cobb's place. That leaves Jordy Nelson as that guy that gets underneath stuff and a lot of red zone targets. I believe he's their tallest wide receiver right now. So that's why I have Jordy Nelson at number 8. And I know we're running low on time. You got, like, what, 18 minutes left until it cuts off, period. So we got to buzz through these things real quick.
Well, calm down, Victor.
Hey,
I'm well aware.
Go ahead. Just real quick. Yeah, sorry. Real quick, I wanted to throw at you too, real quick, Mikal, and I guess overall analysis, just real quick. The other thing was too, Pittsburgh is definitely looking to get back to their identity, which is running that football this year. They brought in LeGarrette Blount behind Le'Veon Bell, so that also factored into my ranking being down a little bit. I think Pittsburgh wants to really run the football a lot this year.
I agree with
okay.
you on that too.
All right, let's move on to the next one. This guy is a prolific 100 catch guy. For the most part of his career, only a couple of years, 2010 and 2011, when he was under 100 yards. Seven out of the last 8 years, seven out of the last 6 years, I should say, he had 100 catches. And I can't see him going past that. Getting below that, I should say, even though he does have Alshon Jeffrey on the other side. He had 100 catches last year. He had 118 the year before, and over 1,200 yards in the last 2 years, and double-digit touchdowns. Brandon Marshall is a cold, ice-cold beast. He's gotten a lot tougher since he left Denver, mentally-wise and heart-wise. So... that's why I think this guy. That's why I do like Brandon Marshall at the position I have him. Jay Cutler loves him, loved him in Denver, loves him in Chicago. Number seven, Brandon Marshall. Lance.
Yep, nice pick. I got Marshall at number six. I'm going to tell you, Mikal, I had to tell my father this for last year. You know what? Because my father was saying that Matt Ryan and Julio Jones and Roddy, you know, them guys were soft. I said, you know what? They can be soft all you want, but when it comes to fantasy football, they put up the numbers. So don't let your personal feelings deter you away from picking them up. Brandon Marshall, I got him at number six. Look, the guy's a beast. And look, like the situation we mentioned with Roddy White and Julio Jones, yeah, Alshon may be the younger, may have more athletic ability, but you best believe that Brandon Marshall is going to get that football. Jay Cutler is not going to forget about this guy. He's going to make sure he gets the ball. And in the red zone, he certainly looks for Brandon Marshall a lot. So I got Marshall at number six. I say put him in the books, another 1,200 yards, another double-digit TD receptions for Brandon Marshall this year.
Cal.
Yeah, you definitely want to, you know, fantasy-wise, you definitely want to pick this guy up, you know, because he is going to produce. I used to have a lot of respect for his game, but you know he's fallen a lot out of favor to me because I think he's soft. I think if you hit him on his elbow, he's gonna start crying. And you know this dude is what, like 6'5", 250 something. I just don't understand that. I mean, cause I'm like a 5'9" dude. You know what I'm saying? I'm barely sniffing 100 pounds. You hit me good, I'm just going to get up and, you know, do it again. You know what I mean? This dude crying. No, I'm not feeling that. I'm not feeling that at all. But, yeah, you want to pick him up in fantasy, so cause that's what we're talking about. But, yeah, he is soft. Soft.
Victor.
And Pudding.
Okay, real quick, because I got to get ready to go to church, guys. At number seven, I have Alshon Jeffries. I think he's going to have a great year. I'm going to go down my list real quick. And I got to go. I know you guys are going to finish up. But I have Alshon Jeffries. Then I have Julio Jones, Brandon Marshall, A.J. Jenkins, Demetrius Thomas, Dez Bryant, and then Calvin Johnson. Those are mine. I'm more than happy to explain that stuff later on. But what in the world?
No, I was just clapping that you know you got your whole list out. I thought the show was the master plan. I really thought the show was
the
master plan.
You know what? This ain't Mikal's time either. But I got to go to church.
No,
I got to praise the Lord. And I got to forgive those who cannot be forgiven. So,
you two are a piece of work. You two are a piece of work.
I'm just trying to help you,
Sam.
I'm just trying to help you.
Hey, y'all have a great show. Again, ladies and gentlemen, the new show, the Extra Point, September 8th, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, featuring Lance, the NFL exporter, Goodman. We'll figure out who'll be the co-host. Might be me, might be Jerry, might be himself. I got to teach Lance how to do the board, so we'll get that done. I'll talk to you guys later. Have a great rest of the show. And
all
I
right,
am
peace out.
All right, let's move on. We got about a little less than 10 minutes, give or take, to get to these last six. All right, this guy, Dynamite quarterback, he had 85 catches for 1,300 yards and 8 touchdowns last year. Dropped off in the receptions because of injury, 49 catches, only 745 yards. But he did have 7 touchdowns. He's the only Caucasian, and I hate to say it like that, but majority of these guys are big African-American guys, and he's definitely not one of these divas in wide receivers. And he's got some quicks to him, and he's extremely smart and gifted wide receiver for Aaron Rodgers, and he depends on him quite a bit. He's in his contract year. I expect him to show out like he's one of the most consistent ones. That's why he's number six, Jordy Nelson.
I got Jordy Nelson at number 11, just outside of the top 10.
Okay.
Continues to excel. As long as he's healthy, he's going to put up the numbers for you. He's another guy you can catch in later rounds under the radar. Has great rapport with Aaron Rodgers, like I said, in the red zone. That back shoulder catch. Man, this guy gets the job done. And just to give you a quick one on that too, Jerry, he actually did get that new contract signed. So he'll be coming into this year.
That's right. Thanks.
Yeah, satisfied. So I got Jordy Nelson at 11. Definitely a guy who the past couple years I've kind of slept on, and I end up kicking myself as the season progresses, seeing this guy stack up the numbers game after game.
McCown.
Best white boy wide receiver since Steve Lodgins. I really like Jordy Nelson, and he got some jets to him. Definitely will pick him up. He could definitely be on my team any day, anytime. If I see him, I'm grabbing him.
Yep.
Now this guy, he played well last night at number five. He played well last night. His offensive coordinator, who's a Jay Gruden, left with a pass happy offense. Now that the Hugh Jackson's taken over, and a pass in a run heavy offense supposedly, and he has the quarterback as Andy Dalton. A.J. Green, I have him listed at number five. He had 98 catches for 1,400 yards and double-digit touchdowns in 11. And that same amount in 2012. I have him at number five, but I wouldn't be surprised that if he slips out of that number five ranking because of the fact is the offensive may change and he may not get the same amount of opportunities to do what he's been doing in the past. Lance.
Yep, I got A.J. Green coming in at number four. This guy is big time. The biggest thing you want to look for him, he don't need a lot of catches to get the work done. He can get you four catches and get you over 100 yards. So, I mean, this guy, man, and I'm going to tell you, the thing that really limits his production is Andy Dalton's weak arm. If he had a guy like Joe Flacco back there, this guy would be number one fantasy the receiver. You can look up and see about five or six times a year where A.J. Green has coverage beat by a good 15 to 20 yards. I mean, the type of moves he's doing on these cornerbacks is unbelievable, but he's got to slow down and catch the ball and end up getting tackled from behind instead of catching the ball in stride and getting into the end zone. Despite Hugh Jackson being there, like I said, man, this guy picks up yesterday three catches, 70 yards. It doesn't take much for him to get the numbers, and Marvin Jones got injured. And so he's going to miss the first 5 weeks. So he's going to get more targets. You just wonder sometimes, you know, he's in a tough AFC North, but I got A.J. Green coming in at number four, man. This dude is a stud. Can't go wrong with having him. He's a definite number one receiver.
Yep.
He's definitely a number one receiver. A.J. Green is one of the best pure talents out there in the NFL. I definitely would take him as my top receiver. I really like this youngin'. If he could, you know, if he could tighten it up a little bit, he's gonna be a cold beast. He is a cold beast, but he will be even better. It's scary that the dude has more ceiling to hit.
Yep. All right, let me go to this next guy. I already talked about his I would say sidekick, but his contemporary on the other side. I also said that they're going to go to a three wide set, and also said that They're scrapping the type of offense that had Tony Gonzalez with 85 catches. And they're going to be throwing the ball, and they're going to be throwing the ball all early and often to Roddy White and also this guy who I got ranked number four, Julio Jones. I expect him to come back to what he did in 2012 with 80 catches and almost 1,200 yards and 10 touchdowns. Lance, Julio Jones, number four.
Yep, I got him ranked at number five. You said it, Jerry. They're going to be passing the ball. As I mentioned, the Atlanta's defense is not good, so that just means the offense is going to be on the field even more. I've got a slight injury concern, just something in my gut. As a rookie, he missed a couple games. Even the year that he made it through the season, had a couple games, you know, hamstring last year, the foot. So I'm a little bit nervous. I'm not going to lie. You know, injuries scare me off a little bit, but he's certainly, I mean, the ceiling, like you said, for this guy is through the roof. Dynamic playmaker, has the ability to turn a 5-yard route into a 70-yard TD. So, I mean, his ability is there. They're going to pass a lot. Julio Jones is definitely a top five wide receiver fantasy football.
No doubt this dude is a top five wide receiver. He's a cold beast. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing else to be said. I mean, you guys have said the same thing.
Okay. Let's move on to one of the most prolific offenses with Bebe as their wide receiver. If you're Peyton Manning's number one wide receiver, you want to get targeted early and often. He had 92 catches last year. In fact, let me put it this way. The last 2 years, 92 or 94 catches, and only 4 yards separated him from 2012 and 2013, 1,430 yards, 14 touchdowns last year, 10 touchdowns in 2012. Demaryius Thomas, there's no doubt in my mind he could absolutely be the number one wide receiver, but right now I got him ranked number three. Lance.
I got him ranked number two. You just said it. Being Peyton Manning's number one wide receiver, it's done. And I love this kid's footwork. This guy knows how to drag his feet, knows how to tap his toes. He's another guy with great speed. We see him a lot take a wide receiver screen, 60, 70 yards. I mean, nothing else needs to be said. This guy is a bona fide star. I got him in at number two. Expect those numbers should be looking the same. You know, 90, 95 catches, 1,300 to 1,400 yards, double-digit TDs. You cannot go wrong. Demaryius Thomas has solidified himself as a number one wide receiver.
This guy, you know, I would take him high, you know, highly on a fantasy board, but he's not really high on my, you know, wide receiver list. I need to see another year. No, and it's just the Peyton Manning factor. I need to see another year of this. You know what I'm saying? To let me know that it's not a mirage, and it's just not, you know, Manning getting the ball to him and being in the right time and right place. That's all. That's all it's about.
All right. Let's go to this another guy, and I know you don't like – you may like this guy, but you sure don't like the team. Last 2 years, over 95 catches, 1,233 last year, 1,382 the year before, 13 and 12 touchdowns respectively the last 2 years. This guy's a beast. And Jerry Jones said they're going to try to get this ball get the guy the ball more because he had – fewer than 10 targets 8 times last season, and he still caught double-digit touchdowns and over 1,300 yards. I'm talking about no other than McCown's favorite guy at number two from the Dallas Cowboys, but Dez Bryant.
Yep, I got Dez Bryant at number three. You just said it, and look, like Julio Jones out in Dallas, very poor defense. That offense is going to be on the football field an awful lot, a lot of shootouts. We've been going on and on about how weak the NFC East defenses are. He's Tony Romo's main target. And, man, Dez Bryant, man, he puts the work in. You love that he was able to get the double-digit TDs. I certainly expect another 90-plus reception, 1,300-plus double-digit TD years from Dez Bryant, definitely a top-five wide receiver.
Definitely. This guy is definitely the number two best wide receiver in the league. Yes, I am saying that. Yes, he's on the Cowboys. I understand that. But this dude is the epitome of like what Moss was. You just throw the ball to him. I mean, when he's out there upset and them not getting the ball, I'm not understanding why they're not getting him the ball. I don't understand. I mean, because this dude is just a monster. He is just that good.
Okay. And I'm not going to even expound on this. Everybody knows who the number one wide receiver is, Megatron Calvin Johnson. Consensus.
Yep, consensus. I totally agree. I know we're getting to the end of the show, so real quick, Jerry, I'm just going to give you three receivers in my top 25 that didn't get mentioned. I had Michael Crabtree at 17. I think he's going to have a good year, top receiver for Colin Kaepernick. I had T.Y. Hilton at 21. I think out of the Colts three receivers, him and Luck had the most rapport, and he's definitely a guy who kills you on the deep ball, so you can get a lot of points in one shot. And then I have Jeremy Maclin at 25. He can stay healthy. That Chip Kelly offense is definitely set for him to have a big season, but that's a huge if. You definitely don't want to count on him to be a guy who can make it through a full season until we see otherwise.
All right, we come to the end of the show. We had almost 3 hours of this. This is, wow, this was a hell of a show, a lot of information. I want to thank you guys for joining me. definitely my co-host for laying down the knowledge. As always, tune in next week, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, with a master plan, and myself, JT, a.k.a. the Master, and
along
with
Jerry.
Lance, yeah.
Hey, real quick, too, we've been forgetting to do this the last couple weeks. Why don't you give them yours and let them give me my Twitter so we can make sure we get some more followers?